you'd like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
800-636-1067, 202-432-1067. Dan, thanks for calling Free FM. What's going on?
Hi.
Hey.
Oh, you can hear me. Great. I just want to say that, to me, Valentine's Day is a Hallmark holiday, much mm-hmm. the way that, and people use Valentine's Day the way they use April Fool's Day and New Year's Eve. It's like, on April Fool's Day, you have to make jokes. That's when the amateurs come out. So I do jokes 364 days of the year. On New Year's mm-hmm. Eve, I don't go out because everybody's forcing themselves to have fun. The best Valentine's Day I ever had was me and a friend going to one of those Valentine's Day overpriced restaurants where they only allowed couples in. And we actually sat there and watched all these miserable couples barely eat, not talk to each other. They all looked surly except some of the older folks. And aside from my friend, Buzz Burbank sticking his tongue in my ear at the time.
Oh, yeah. You know what? And I was going to say, you're pretty bitter over there. Yeah, I mean, he's got to be one of those bitter people that doesn't have anybody for Valentine's Day. Because why spend the money to go sit in a restaurant and make fun of people? That's kind of silly.
I agree.
I knew that guy was BSing from the second he started talking. But I'm like, you know what? I want to see where this goes.
Somebody give me a C.
The Don and Mike Show.
Here you go, Stevie. Here she was.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Let me see. Don't forget our new thing with the breaking news.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours.
Right.
Then don't call.
Yes.
The Don and Mike Show.
There you go.
Hi, Joe. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Thank you, Ed. Don and Mike Show. SHI Thursday, everybody.
Oh,
kind of a funny poo-poo joke that we used back in the morning zoo days. You got a sure happy Thursday.
I love that gag.
So many tapes that we could use to start the show with. Of course, there's the instructional teachings of Tim Hardaway of the Miami Heat from the book of Spiewak. And maybe you saw the tape of the guy, the high school coach on ESPN. Did you catch this guy?
I got an anonymous letter. You know, we just kind of bummed out this year that the boys only get 2 weeks off before they start their summer conditioning program. You know, normally they get three. Well, we gave them a week at the start of the semester rather than the end. But here's my point, okay? It's Division One football! It's the Big 12! And we're a little bummed out that we don't get 3 weeks. Go play intramurals, brother.
Wow. I can't wait till camp opens.
You think it would make that tape better if he was talking like it's a fifth graders,
right?
Is
that a college coach or a high school coach?
That's a college coach.
Uh-huh.
Like a basic scratching, though. I think he did say, I guess it is big time, didn't it? Say like Big 12 or Big
He said
10?
Division One football.
Yeah, so I would think it's scratching of the big time. I saw it on Sports.
I believe
Center.
That's the American University football coach.
Coach Cleese? No, he's from the University of Colorado.
He's not from Virginia Commonwealth?
He's not from VCU, although I hear they're going to be a real player this year.
Thank you, Robbie. That's where I see it on Sports Center, right? The Colorado Buffaloes. Yeah, guy just going off. And everybody has heard the tapes of the basketball player.
Not enough, though.
Saying that he hates gays.
Uh-oh.
The tape, though, that you've got to hear is from this morning on the Today Show. And it comes from the doughy-eyed empty-headed, vapid, and Curry.
I love that word, vapid.
Who, for the very first time in her broadcasting career, does something funny.
Okay.
Really?
Now, she's going to say that somebody else is making her laugh.
Does she know it's funny? That's the first question I would have for you.
She's laughing at... Hey, man, let's rock. Let's roll on the rock mic. I'm sorry, as you know. The new year means a new format. More music! And less talk. On Westwood One.
It's our new format. This is one in Washington, D.C. This is 106.7, The Nodule.
So they play the soundbite of the guy saying that he hates gays, and she, like a certain amount of people, when you hear that,
all right,
finds it funny.
She fell out?
She cannot stop laughing.
Okay.
Listen to it.
The host had asked Hardaway how he would interact with a gay player.
I hate gay people, so, I let it be known. I don't like gay people. I don't like to be around gay people. I don't, I'm homophobic. I don't like it. It shouldn't be in the world for that or in the United States for it. So, yeah, I don't like it.
Hardaway later apologized, calling his comments a mistake. And the newest dollar coin is coming into circulation today, bearing the likeness of George Washington. It is the first dollar coin honoring former presidents. The design will change four times a year, each one honoring a different president. I am so sorry that I'm losing it over that one. I am so sorry, but I just went so far across the line.
I don't think I've ever seen that happen.
I know. Well, you were laughing, and that was the problem.
Listen to that. You know, it's like, oh, my God. Ann Curry.
It's definitely not that network PC that you normally know.
The lifeless corpse of Ann Curry is laughing at the fact that...
With no explanation.
Right. Well, she's laughing, I guess, because...
Oh, she's saying Matt Lauer was laughing?
No, she said Roker was cracking.
Oh, it was Roker who was making her laugh. All right.
And meanwhile...
Noted homophobe Al Roker.
In the chatter, in between all of them there, she's saying... I'm sorry, yeah. I lost it.
Right.
That's a ridiculous story. And Matt Lauer is screaming, well, lots of ridiculous statements are being made out there. And Al Roker is saying, oh, you are laughing. And then she says, Al, you made me laugh.
That is what we call around here being thrown under the bus.
Yeah, I'm the only one who was laughing.
Yes, of course. I apologize, America, but it was just so funny.
Tim Hardaway.
Now again, she says, I apologize, America, it was so funny.
Right.
It's so funny. Think about this.
Yeah. Right.
Right, Ann. It's so funny that a basketball player comes out and says he hates gays.
Hilarious. No explanation there.
I actually thought in the beginning he was kidding.
Maybe it was a joke.
That was not
a joke.
He has since apologized. Would you want one of those coins?
No, because you know why? Can I tell you a problem with that?
Who's trying to do the same? Meredith?
Yes. And just listen to that. That everybody, the nervous, like, oh, my God, we're on something that maybe someone's controversial. Oh, my God, got to change this up. Everybody talking once right now.
Well, that is, you know, as I said before, that is the land of PC because, you know, they are so careful on those morning news shows.
And they got to think with Ann Curry, they're safe because she's the Ron Burgundy of the Today Show.
They're on or something. I didn't know you were changing.
I wanted to get off that.
They need to make them bigger or smaller. I mean, Roke was saying, you know, it's always the problem is you can't tell whether it's...
Right, talking about the gold coins.
Susan B. Anthony didn't do well.
No, didn't do so well.
Well, they are off that subject, aren't they?
The only way it will do well, they said, is if you get rid of the paper dollar.
Right.
It's the only way it ever succeeds.
Meanwhile, Al's here with tire tracks.
Here's Al, who hates gays.
I'm still driving that bus, too.
This is a Hall of Fame broadcast. Talk about the time capsule. Okay.
You know what? I'll tell you this. They're up early. They're tired.
Yep.
They're there every day. They're cynical broadcasters like we're all cynical broadcasters.
Another thing that Meredith's mentioning is when Al says he has tire tracks up his back, and Meredith says, I thought they were up your butt.
Yeah. Meredith said that. Meredith, while she tries to defuse at the beginning, she decides to join. She is naughty,
and I like her a lot. Yeah.
And since when did you become such friends with Tim Hardaway? I didn't even think you followed basketball.
Oh, I don't.
Boo. First of all, I wouldn't want him on my team. And second of all, you know, if he was on my team, I would, you know, really distance myself from him because I don't think that's right. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, he should be in a locker room while we're in a locker room. And it's just a whole lot of other things. So I wouldn't even be a part of that. But, you know, it's stuff like that going on, and there's a lot of other people out here that's still in the closet and don't want to come out the closet. But, you know, I just leave that alone.
Yeah, I'm totally gay for you.
You know that what you're saying there, though, Timmy, is flatly homophobic, right? It's just it's bigotry.
Well, I hate gay people. So.
Well, that's right.
Oh, wow. There you go.
I mean, the
line.
There you go.
You know, he might have gotten a free pass right up into that moment. But the announcer gives him a little bit of a chance, and he comes out, "I hate gay people."
Okay, there you go.
Wow.
We'll get back to that in a moment.
And Curry.
Hey, tip of the Dynamite cap to the retards behind the scenes here. We actually were ahead of the curve on two stories that you'll hear about today in the news.
Really?
First, that chick in the army that posed for Playboy.
Yes.
She had her rank taken away from her.
She's out of there.
And remember a while ago we had that old dude that was trying out for the Daytona 500?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Sometime during today's show, we'll find out if he makes it or not, because today's the day that he actually gets on the track.
And what with all the guys getting suspended, maybe that'll limit the field a little bit.
Yeah. Although I was very happy to hear that Michael Waltrip is indeed going to race, even though they found that substance in his car.
Mike, may I tell you something on behalf of all the NASCAR fans that I know?
Yes.
Who have supported NASCAR long before it became high-definition television.
High-definition.
I'm glad that Michael Waltrip was caught cheating because he's driving a Jap car.
That's right. He is one of those drivers. I'm driving a Toyota Camry.
What was that date, Rob? What's that date? We got mad at Japan.
Well, always, but December 7th, 1941, had come to a head.
That's right. That's when they. That's when them planes came in and tackled the Diamond Harbor.
I like to fall out. Someone said they're putting jet fuel in Michael Waltrip's car, and I said,
"Goddamn Chinaman!"
It's bad enough that you know they got that Japanese car, but now they got to put that jet fuel in there. And what with all them other guys, you know, putting holes where they ain't supposed to be holes for better aerodynamics.
And for all of you NASCAR fans out there like that, why is it such a problem that Toyota is entering the NASCAR field? It's not like...
Japanese.
Yeah, I understand, yeah. Buzz. I mean, hey, NASCAR, I understand.
Exactly.
But it's not like Japanese automobiles have not already taken over the world.
The rest of the world. Yeah.
Hey.
Yes, they have.
All right, okay.
Admit it, Rob.
There's the reason right there, I guess.
Okay.
I'm excited for the NASCAR Hyundais that are going to be coming soon.
So the old guy that we had on the show.
Hilton? Is that what his name is?
He's getting all kinds of national press today because he's got a sponsor. He's got a car.
He's got a chance.
And he's going to go like 180 miles an hour today.
He's going to try to qualify for the Daytona 500. And we wish him the best luck. 72? Is that how old he is?
I guess so.
72 years young?
About that. So we'll follow up on both of those people that we had on the show. A couple of things from my life. Last night, one great and one I know will bring my great joy that is really not so great, I don't think. I went home last night. And remember I told you that Janet did that thing that she gave me a genie bottle?
Right. Yes.
With a thing that said three wishes inside?
Three wishes. Did you...
And yesterday I was kidding and I said I wish that one of the wishes was that, you know, when I was watching TV she would stop talking.
Did you have a legitimate wish last night?
Yes,
apparently
sir.
So.
Yes, sir.
Really?
Fulfilled.
Okay.
Wish fulfilled.
Are you going to share your wish or is it a private wish?
No, I'm not going to fulfill it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going. She fulfilled
you're
it.
You're not going
I'm
to not going fulfill to, it? I don't understand.
I'm not going to say it, but she fulfilled it.
You're not
going to
say what?
That good.
It's sex, Mike.
Oh, you had sex?
We had good sex. We had good sex. Daddy-like sex last night.
So that was one of your wishes?
That was a wish.
Okay.
Said, you know what? I said, sweetie, were you serious about this? She said, you bet. I said, chop, chop.
And you did it like
let's make this happen.
Who's the guy in the I Dream of Jeannie? What's the name?
Larry Hagman.
Like Larry Hagman and I Dream of Jeannie.
Naked Day, Hat Day, Silent Day.
That makes two of us.
All
I wasn't full last night.
Good for you.
Congratulations.
See, he hates it when I say it. He hates it when I say it.
He can come in any day. I don't hardly ever talk about
getting laid anymore.
Yeah. Look at that reaction.
One day I get
That's
laid.
That's the only reason I
the
said it.
The one day I get laid and That's I want to say reason. Something
That's
about it.
That's the only reason I said it.
Oh, I sort of mentioned it yesterday that I was too full for sex, and so I wasn't full last night.
I'm glad to hear that.
I didn't do that for any other reason than your reaction.
But I didn't jump in your story with Carla making you the nice dinner and you being too full to have sex. All I'm saying is it's very nice. I got home last night, had a nice dinner, a nice Valentine's dinner, watched American Idol, and then said, hey, this is what Daddy would like. And boom, it happened. Just like that. No fuss, no muss.
Sounds special.
It was perfect. It was almost as good as calling for an escort.
Well, I'm very sorry that I interrupted your sex story.
Don't worry, Mike.
I was hoping for more detail.
I know that you will want more detail about my other story.
Yes.
Because when I tell you about sex, you get grossed out.
When I
tell you about something medical that happened to me.
Yes.
You will not be grossed out.
Well, you alluded to this before the show, and you said you were going to talk about it on the air, and I've been
wondering
what it is.
Because every goddamn nervous Nelly in the world is going to call in.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what happens.
Well, you know what happens when anybody talks about anything medical. We get all the doomsayers that call in.
Okay, so it's today, about 11 o'clock this morning.
Right.
We are just finishing up... Not that. That was last night. She's finishing up her coffee, and I've got a bottle of water. And we're just watching the news, reading the newspaper. And I had one of those big 2-liter bottles of Evian. And there was a big swig left. And I stood up, and I said, I'm just going to knock this baby out, and I'll be right back. And I started to drink the Evian. Now, as it started to go down the windpipe, I realized I was taking too much fluid in, and I had so much fluid, it was backing up inside my nose, and it was in my throat, and I spazzed out, and I could not spit it out, and as I leaned towards the door to try to open the door to spit it out, I actually passed it out, and boom, but I mean, only like for... I don't know, 5 seconds. Let's see. I know you'd like it. I knew you'd like it.
I liked it. It's just...
I knew you'd like it. And
you cut off your air supply due to too much fluid in your head.
I don't know what happened.
Yes.
I don't know what happened. She said...
You kind of choked.
Absolutely. She said my face turned beet red, and she said, I knew that you were really sick because, like, you were falling into the TV, and I know that you would never do anything.
Never hurt the TV.
You never do anything to bother your electronics.
Almost like you were in a contest in Sacramento.
So, let me just illustrate it for you.
I don't think you have that much water, Rob.
Okay, let me illustrate it for you visually.
Okay?
Yeah, please.
So...
Well, why do you think that I like it when you, like, have near-death experiences? Just because of that.
What about when I drowned, when I seriously thought I was going to drown?
Because that was different. Because you came back and you had recovered. I don't find joy potentially. When you describe things, you describe them in a humorous way. And when I get the visual the way you describe it of you reaching for the door and losing consciousness, I have a momentary chuckle. Momentarily a little funny.
Especially since no harm was
done. Yeah, I mean, you're here. You're fine.
Yeah.
And you're right. I understand what you're saying about the doomsayers out there that are going to call. Oh, you know what that means. No, you choked. Yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah, but, man, it was creepy.
Hello.
Hey, hi, sweetie.
Hi there.
Hey, I'm talking about my little medical episode. I'm trying to describe that all I was drinking was that thing of water.
Yeah.
And then I stood up, and I'm going to finish up this water. And then you know what happened. You were watching me. I wasn't watching me. What happened then?
Well, you stood up and you were trying to get to the door, and all of a sudden all this water started spitting out of your mouth. You were spewing water and it was going everywhere, and your face got really red, and you stumbled. It's almost like you were doing like the...
Hold on.
Your knees buckled, and it really looked like Elvis in Forrest Gump.
Oh, man.
How you were just, and you literally kind of like your hips went one way, your
now,
knees
Janet,
buckled.
Now, Janet, you confused me there for a second because you said Elvis and Forrest Gump.
No. When Forrest Gump did the Elvis thing. where he's dancing like a retard.
Okay, all right.
I mean,
thank you, darling.
Seriously, his knees went one way, his hips went the other way, and he literally just buckled. And the thing that really made me realize it was serious is he fell into his...
I said that.
Very nice.
I said that. Into the
TV.
Into the nice flat screen.
How long was he out?
I don't know, maybe 10 minutes. No, he wasn't.
10 minutes.
Cookie breakfast. No, he was. I mean, literally, by the time he fell back and he fell back into all of his TV stuff, and then as soon as he hit the floor, I jumped up and kind of grabbed him, and then he came back.
Oh, okay.
So there
but
you
I,
go.
I didn't have to like pound on his chest or anything.
Thank God.
Well, that's good.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Is this a choking thing, in your opinion? Kind of a
that's what
a
I
choking
think, but
fit?
Here's what I couldn't figure out.
Because you kind of had those in here before.
Yeah, but it's just
you know,
water.
You sometimes get something that goes down your windpipe wrong.
And choke
you know that, right? When you have
but
one of those,
like
you're like,
yeah,
know.
But never like that.
Yeah, that
where,
would,
I mean,
obviously
was,
you've never passed out in here.
Where the water would not come out of my throat, and I told
you know what I think it was?
What?
Panic attack.
I told Janet later, I felt the water in my nose. And then I didn't remember anything.
It's amazing that you would cut off that much air.
We're drowning.
That you would, you know, that, I mean,
I know.
Something obviously went down the wrong way.
And all I can say is, thank God the TV is okay. Even
you didn't headbutt the TV and break the screen
no,
or
no.
anything?
No, what was great was, because it's an LCD screen, mm-hmm. and my God, you cannot touch those screens.
No.
What is great is, even in this falling out state, that I managed to just fall on the receiver and on the TiVo box.
Jeez.
So, see, what I'm telling you is that it was, while it was probably just something goofy, on the other hand, you know, I mean, I literally, here's what I did. I got up and, like, stumbled. This is hard to explain. I walked from here, like, to the door. I couldn't make it to the door. And as I started to walk back, I just kind of fell into the wall in front of me.
Out of line. So you were, like, just fleeing, right? I mean,
yeah.
in your panic of not being able to get air, you were just struggling to get out.
I picture myself like Frankenstein or Herman Munster walking around. Really. It was so embarrassing.
Any bruises from the fall?
No, Rob. No bruising. So my butt was bleeding when I woke up.
No serious bruising.
No, the cranberry juice.
No, what do you, I mean, it was choking, right? I mean, you don't think it was anything worse than that?
No, I don't.
But it was obviously serious. Oh, you were just chugging too much? Is that what it was? Chugging too much water?
I guess so.
It was like more than a cup of water. Because he showed me how much was in there. It was
a lot.
Quite a bit.
Did he start with a choke, Janet?
He literally, I mean, it was quiet, and then I just saw him jump up, and he was just, water was just coming out of his mouth, and he was stumbling because he couldn't get the door open. Because
right.
He was trying to spit it outside.
Picture.
He didn't want to mess up his new rug.
It's a pretty picture. Because
thank you.
I was trying
was
to...
Was it just water? Was there anything else that came up?
Just water.
No.
And I was trying to spit it up, and nothing would come out, and I could feel it, like, drooling on my chin and stuff.
And then you were immediately back after that. No distress after that?
No. Except I have not been able to control my bowels. It's been like 2 hours now, and I've been in an adult diaper. I take it back. It's 4 hours now.
Your color looks good.
All right, sweetie, there you go.
Thank you for saving him.
Made it in okay.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
All right, talk to you later.
I'll talk to you anytime.
All right, bye, honey.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
She doesn't sound particularly freaked out by
it. No, she was when it happened.
Sure. Well, I'm sure it would be scary. I get freaked out when you choke in here.
And she said what everybody loves to hear. as I was sitting on the floor and I got up and I said, phew, boy, I'm okay. That went down the wrong pipe. She said, oh, I thought you were having a heart attack.
Uh-huh. Yeah, isn't that great when
thank
you hear that one?
Thought thank
you.
Were, you.
Thought you were a goner.
Thank you, darling.
Jeez Louise.
Thank you, darling.
Boy, oh boy. Well, it sounds like you just, you know, had something in the most severe way possible, something that went down the wrong way.
I guess so. I only brought it up because I thought it would bring you joy.
Well, did you think it did? Are you surprised that it didn't bring me as much joy as you would think?
I think you're lowballing it a little bit.
It didn't bring me as much joy as when I interrupted you and said that I had sex. That because that was a silent reaction on your part where you know, I don't try to come in here obviously on a day-to-day basis and tick you off, but sometimes I know I do, and sometimes that just in some small way amuses me because you get a look on your face and, you know, normally I wouldn't say that type of thing. But as far as you passing out, I've been in here when you've had the chokes.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you have them normally. You don't have them on the air. You have them, but you have had them on the air, and you have them normally during the break, and it always involves you drinking a beverage. drinking
Did
a lot.
Did you know that? I mean, really, it's always...
Oh, I know.
You're drinking something and you just, you know, it's like... It reminds me of my Uncle Bill Sheehan. And I have done this for you before when he would be sitting every single holiday.
And this does bring you joy.
He would be sitting at the Christmas or Thanksgiving table and inevitably we would be serving a beef product, a roast, a steak, some sort of beef, and he would, before the end of the meal...
Oh, is this lovely about how he would choke or something?
He would choke, and it freaks people out.
Sure.
Because you want to attend to the person, and what he would do is he would always wave his arms the same way, and he'd be going... And we're going, Bill, are you all right, Bill?
And waving his arms like, leave me alone,
yeah,
right?
Well, it was usually, you know how you mentioned early times the other day? And when I was talking about early times when I thought it was high times.
High times.
The reason I mentioned early times, that's what my Uncle Bill would bring to Thanksgiving. He would bring a fifth of early times whiskey, and there would be, seriously, 2 inches left at the end of the Thanksgiving afternoon. There'd be like 2 inches left. He'd be crying and choking.
Is that sure. pricey stuff?
No, it's no. middle of the road. It's, I mean, it's not the Bowman's.
And also, you have to always remember Elvis, who would pass out from pills during dinner, and they'd have to pull hamburger out of his mouth.
Have you ever choked on your own spit? Have you ever choked on your
I
own
have.
Spit?
Yeah.
I think so.
Sure, yeah. I've done that. And bile, vomit.
Oh, that's the worst.
That burns.
Yeah.
When you have the, you might have a hiatal hernia.
That could be the problem. You said you thought so the other day.
I don't even know what a hiatal hernia is.
I have one. I have a small one.
Reflux.
Are you talking about acid reflux?
Yeah. It's the hole that's that goes down into your tummy, and it's actually it's a little opening, and it causes acid to come back in, and that's one of the primary causes of acid reflux.
But you felt no burn, right? Just cool water.
Just cool water, and then the sensation of passing out.
Cool spring water from the Alps.
From the Alps. Evian.
And then the sensation of falling into my rack.
Sensation of
you
falling.
Fell into your rack?
Nice rack.
I thought you fell into the TV.
No, the audio rack.
Oh, the audio rack.
The audio rack, where all the stuff
Did
is.
Did it scare you?
That was
a little Larry King question.
Did it scare you? Passing out, you lose consciousness, right?
I'm unscarable, Mike. You always say I have a death wish. Yeah. The only thing I wish is that could have happened. When I was skydiving.
You wish you could have passed out and choked, will you?
When I was skydiving.
Just enough so you would not pull the ripcord and you'd have to come to and then pull it right away.
While I was skydiving. And getting my
drink.
Falling out of the plane.
Boy.
Chute won't open.
Ooh.
Drinking water. Pass out. Wake up. On the TV.
Autoerotic.
Asphyxiation.
No, autoerotic skydive asphyxiation.
Hold on, here is a NASCAR update. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Doing good. Redneck check-in. That 72-year-old guy you had on there, as of right now, with 7 laps left, will be starting in the Daytona 500.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
7 laps left, though, right?
That's pretty good.
Well, they're under caution, and he's in the first spot that gets in as long as he doesn't get past. There's 6
laps. Oh, that would be so cool.
He can't get past. Are you saying that? So he's got the last qualifying spot?
On the
There's 2 in each race, and he's in the first position. So there's 2 positions. As long as he doesn't get passed by 3 cars, he's in.
Hope he makes it to Sunday without choking.
Well, hey, thanks a lot, Donna Mike.
See you later. That's funny, Rob. How's your ass? How's your exploding ass doing?
No tomatoes.
We're all trying to talk Rob into getting the medical experiments done on him. So he gets free medical care.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Nothing has changed.
Hey, Joe, let me see the Don. Janet didn't have to knock her front teeth out, did she?
Hi, Joe.
You know, maybe it would have been funny if the guy had actually known he was on the air.
Hey, it's us.
Hey, dumbass.
Hello.
He's done.
Hello.
Hey. Hello.
It's me.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Physician here. No problem. No big deal. This is called a vasovagal reflex.
Ah, a bagel reflex.
Bagel reflex.
What is a bagel?
Vasovagal, that is. VV, vasovagal.
That's what I said. Bagel. What is that?
It's basically the same thing that causes you to get so lightheaded sometimes when you're bearing down taking a BM. It's pressures in certain areas of your vascular system that makes your heart slow down. And, Buzz, I'm disappointed in
I'm
your
I'm a fish dude.
I'm disappointed in your medical acumen, Buzz.
Oh, really? What I do?
A hiatal hernia is nowhere near the same thing as acid reflux.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. A doctor just told me that the hiatal hernia is one of the reasons that I get acid reflux.
Well, it's not the same thing, though. I mean, it could be a reason, but it's not the same thing.
No, you're right. I misspoke there, but they can be connected. You know,
you're right, Buzz. I apologize.
Well, what else can a hiatal hernia do to you?
Take your bear down.
Hello?
He hung up, Mike. I'm sorry.
You've never passed out there, have you?
He hung up.
Yeah.
We got to get a break.
He was right in the middle of a sentence.
Well, he did. He did. We have to break because now we screwed this guy's name up. But we had him on the show before. The host of The Amazing Race. He's going to give us like 5 minutes of his valuable CBS time. His name is Phil Kogan, and we have called him Phil Keegan.
We've also called him Phil Kagan.
Phil Kagan.
But it's Kogan.
The name is Kogan, Mike.
And he's the host of The Amazing Race.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's on Sunday night.
He's got a hiatal hernia?
I know why we're having him on. I know, because not only are Robin Amba going to be on, but remember that that midget from Baltimore that we like so bad?
Right. Oh, what was her name?
The midget is back.
Darla?
Myrna.
Darla and Darna?
Charla. Charla and Myrna.
Now, see, that's an Amazing Race all-star. I like that. Robin Amber, why?
Well, because they do every show.
I know. That's the thing. But, I mean, these
Robin
two were...
Amber
decided that we were going to climb the tower.
Amber.
For the 11th season, may I trot out my joke?
What joke?
I always thought The Amazing Race was about white people.
All right. We're going to talk to the guy. Phil, Phil Kogan.
Fabulous. That you played that note so well.
Phil Kogan.
Your one note.
Tim Hardaway on the phone for you, right?
Your one ass note.
I let it be known. I don't like gay people. I don't like to be around gay people. I don't, you know, I'm homophobic. I don't like it. It shouldn't be in the world for that or in the United States for it. So, yeah, I don't like it.
Rob Spiewak.
Thank you.
Rob Spiewak. So it's Kogan like Hogan.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Good stuff.
Okay. We got to hit this and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Mr. Madison, what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
The Don and Mike Show. They try to help you, so go to hell.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, so here's your trifecta of reality shows. You got Survivor and Idol. And then you have The Amazing Race.
The big three.
The Amazing Race, which has kind of been under the radar. It's a show that CBS, for the longest time, tried to run off the air, but they kept moving the time slot, and goddammit, people kept following the show.
They did. And over the years, they've had some, I think the really show is driven by the people that participate, and they've had some wonderful people in it.
So joining us again is Phil Kogan.
How you doing, Phil?
Hi, Phil.
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Very well. Nice to have you on again. The Amazing Race, when they say it's the 11th season, how many actual years have you dudes been doing that show?
We started shooting at the beginning of 2001.
Wow, that is a long time. And each episode takes it up.
LeBron James,
how much
versus
time,
Kobe Bryant.
You know, calendar days to get ready for air.
Well, each episode takes about 2 days, and an entire series takes 28 days.
Yes, that's what I should. I should have said an entire series that takes 28
days. Phil, I think most people know the rules of the show, that you really send people on a race around the world, and there's places where they can find clues and places where they can get on planes and trains and automobiles, and it's the all-star version. I just have to ask you, dude, as a fan of the show, why Robin Amber? I mean, I know why, but tell me why.
Well, If I hadn't, you know, if I was saying to you that they weren't in it, I would be having to explain to you why they weren't there.
You're probably right.
And one of the first questions that people ask is about them, and it's because there's interest there. And I think there's a lot of people that love to hate them and want to see them go in this race because they want to see what's going to happen. Although they might not admit it, they're actually really intrigued to see whether they can win this race or whether they're going to be knocked out early. So people are fascinated by them, whether they like them or hate them. They're fascinated by them. And, you know, they've had their 15 minutes plus an extra, you know, couple of hours, really. And
thank you.
Right. Well, I mean, they've been around a long, long time. And you got to understand that people are keeping them on the air because they wanted to watch them.
I guess they have cemented themselves in our consciousness. I don't know whether I asked this question because I'm a wuss or not, but I think it is because I'm a wuss when it comes to world travel and my feelings about it. You know, it seems to me when you do so much globe trotting on this show, you're all over the place. I always think in the climate of the world today, with everything going on, does it ever enter your mind or enter the contestants' mind or your producers' minds? You know, the world is a pretty dangerous place now, and do you think about that when you're, you know, going from place to place? And have there been any kind of close calls with people that, you know, we might consider the bad guys?
You bring up a really interesting point, because I think the perception for so many people, particularly since 9/11, is that the world is a really dangerous place, and that
right.
that you're safe in America, but if you travel overseas, somehow you're in danger, and mm-hmm. And people overseas are more dangerous than the people here.
Right.
But an interesting statistic, just by the by, is that America is actually rated as number 27 for the safest countries in the world.
Wow.
27.
Phil, are you born in America?
No, I was born in, I was actually born in New Zealand.
Okay, shock.
I kind of bleed red, white, and blue. I mean,
didn't like that 27th reference.
When you say,
all I'm saying is that doesn't make America unsafe, because I think America is safe. All I'm saying is that the perception is that we are the safest, and that if you leave the shores of America, you're going to be flying somewhere that's unsafe.
But obviously there are places that I would assume your producers, you guys wouldn't choose to go right now, because they are hot. They're hot spots, and they're always have been.
Wouldn't
right?
it be great if they said to Rob and Amber, okay, here's the deal. Go to Baghdad.
Right in the middle of Baghdad, that's where you're going to get
it. True, but imagine a reality show overseas that says, you know, teams must now make their way to the Badlands of Detroit. When you arrive, you want to find trouble pretty much in any country in the world. So,
well, Phil, you're a nice guy, but don't pee on my USA legs and tell me it's raining. There,
listen, you hear what I'm saying, though, right? I mean,
I understand what you're saying.
New Zealand is perceived as a safe place, and it is. But I tell you what. You can get your ass whooped in New Zealand if you end up in the wrong place, too.
That's right. True. Anywhere you go.
Fair enough. Listen, as a fan of the show, and I am of The Amazing Race, where are the hippies? Well, where's Tyler and BJ?
They didn't make the cut.
Why? I know it's totally subjective, but...
Don't you think, there's a lot of people that are asking questions about a lot of teams. Where's the Bowling Moms? Where's Colin and Christy? Where are the clowns? Where are Ken and Gerard? Where are the Sky Towers? You know, the Gutsy Grannies, there are a lot of teams...
Oh, hey, hold on. The Gutsy Grannies would be so much better than Rob and Amber. I mean, take the hippies away. Put the Grannies back on.
Well, they'll have other greatest episodes, you know.
I hope.
Obviously, some tough decisions had to be made, and it's not just about... some teams were cut not because they weren't all-star teams, but just because when you're trying to put the mix together, you've got to get a mix of the people that... you want to hate, the people that you want to like, that, you know, you got to have the villains, the adversaries, you got to have young, old, straight, white, Republican,
Phil,
Democrats.
In your opinion, in all the years you've been doing this show, the single toughest challenge you think you've ever offered these people on The Amazing Race?
One of the toughest is probably the Caviar Season 5.
I remember that one.
That I think that would just about knock me out. Oh. That was... That was tough. I've spent 20 years on the road and done some pretty crazy things, but I think that one would just about knock me out.
That was, boy, I tell you, I my stomach was turning just watching
it. What was it, Mike?
It was an eating. They had to, and it was a while back, so I'm going on memory here. It was where they all had to eat this certain amount of caviar. Wasn't that how it worked?
Yeah, it was a roadblock, and it just so happened that a lot of the girls had chosen the roadblock, and it was a copious amount of caviar. I'm trying to remember the specific amount, but I'm thinking it's something like, you know, a kilogram, which is about 2.2 pounds.
It was amazing because you think of caviar as being so incredibly expensive, and they were just shoveling this in their mouths.
Pounds of caviar.
Of caviar. Okay. It was absolutely foul.
It was, I think, it would be fair to say, and again, I'm not speaking for anybody else, but in my opinion, we might have slightly overdosed the amount, and I think in hindsight, if we'd been able to go back, well, certainly, again, I'm speaking for myself. I don't get myself into trouble with everybody, but I would kind of tone it back a little bit.
Yeah. That would be a great challenge with Rob and Amber if it was manure.
You're just not a fan, are you?
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not
a guy. I pray that the Amazing Race takes them to Africa, and the last thing I see is Boston Rob's leg going into a lion's mouth. Now I'm watching, Phil.
But tell me you don't want to watch them, though. I mean, you want to see them.
Of course I do,
Phil. Yes,
bro.
You're going to root. Well, I mean, you're rooting for them to fail, but you're still watching. That's
I am, and everyone else is. The Amazing Race gets its premiere this Sunday, everybody, on CBS at 8 Eastern and 7 Central. Phil, thanks for being on the show, dude.
Yeah, thank you, and I'm so pleased we've got this time slot because we're just getting so many more people watching the show now. It's like people love it. They love the time slot. I hope we stay there.
Well, you do a great job, and good luck with this season, Phil.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Talk to you soon, dude.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 So what we're going to do now, the plan is we're going to make nice with him and make nice with...
Hey, this is Jeff Probst. Don, Mike, the tribe has spoken.
Right, so we play nice with both of these people because both of these shows... Maybe you're going to make a comeback right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Strong comeback.
It's funny, not being a regular viewer of The Amazing Race, I do remember the caviar episode. Yeah. And it seems to me, I think some of the women actually did better than the men in the caviar eating. But it was, when he says a roadblock, you know, they either have to travel somewhere or they get a shortcut by doing something like that.
Like bungee jumping or something. That's an easy way to to take a lot of steps out of the way, right?
Right.
Also, wasn't there a chocolate eating competition a season or so ago?
I don't remember.
But it was also the kind of thing where you just held your stomach.
And I didn't want to bring this up when Phil was on the phone, but couldn't that kill somebody?
Yes, yes.
Hello, Sacramento water drinking contest.
Yes, mm-hmm. Caviar shuts down the body.
In the Badlands of Detroit.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, you're taking calls for Phil?
Yes, we are. Go ahead, he's right here.
Well, I'd like to know what he thought of the beauty queens. If they were hitting
feel up. Really...
What? Phil?
Hold on, go again. You're on the air with Phil.
Wanted to see if the beauty queens were hitting on him.
I will go till you tell me to stop.
I actually had sex with both of them.
That's not nice.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
That's not nice.
Well, I didn't make my name in TV for being nice.
I like rape. We don't have any Phil Kogan tapes, so we're playing the tapes of Chris Hansen.
That's not nice.
Sure it is.
I'll just be your secret lover.
General interest in the show, and you want to abuse me.
Yes, we do.
I carry a gun everywhere I go.
Not at all.
That's not nice.
You want to make passionate love to you?
I would love to make wild, passionate love to you.
You like to tell me about the time I had sex with Charla?
That'll make you feel real good.
I'll make it feel really good for you, hon.
Are you done?
Are you done?
Excuse me, are you done?
Bye!
3 hours.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. Bane.
Hey, you got to go easy on him, Rob. He was on a JetBlue flight on the tarmac for 10 hours.
Hey, you there?
Hey, yeah, we're here. Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hey, I was wondering, man, I've been downloading. I'm from Seattle.
Hi there.
I've been downloading all your MP3s off the website, but I'm all out of them. And I'm wondering if you guys are going to go back any farther than August of 05.
Hey, dude, why don't you just listen on the internet? We got a show every day.
Because I'm on the road right now. Hey, this is Don right now, isn't it?
Yeah, this is Don and Mike.
Oh, right on. Hey, yeah, I love you guys, man. I got you on my iPod.
right now. Uh-huh. Nervous as hell, but hey, you know, I'm running out of show stuff. What am I going to do?
Well, Don was just, I guess you're driving, so you can't listen on the internet.
Why can't you just spend a couple of hours, like, at a Wi-Fi place? Right?
Well, I drive for DHL, so
driving is your business. Your business.
Right, but I've been telling everybody, I'm like, you guys got to go to Don and Mike, download all this material you guys got. Wow. I mean, you guys are...
I have a stupid question.
You guys are interesting.
Yes, sir.
Is there a way that one could listen on the internet and record it?
Sure.
Yeah. Yes.
You can set that up.
I was answered in that I'm an idiot way.
No. I had to think about it, actually.
How do you do it?
You can do it, but it's not good quality, and it's still in the, like, the baby stages. You know, I'm probably a hell of a boring
call. Couldn't you, in theory, just burn it right onto a disc if you were listening online? Couldn't you, like, run it through your... What would you do, John? What would you do?
You got to have the right software to be able to record streaming audio.
Okay, but there is such software that exists.
Okay.
And is it good quality?
Well, as good as they squash the sound, you get that MP3 tinny sound.
Oh, you get that Luke, you are my father sound.
Gotcha. Okay, I was just asking.
And I would pay money.
Did he just say that's not true?
He did.
Yeah.
Who said that?
I think Joseph. Everybody's got an opinion.
Hi, Joe!
Rob's answer was sure. Yeah, of course you can.
What, Joe? Joe?
Yes?
What?
Oh, we were talking about the stream.
Hi, Joe!
Hi, Joe.
You were heckling the show, Joe. What were you saying?
No. I was heckling John.
That's right. Yeah, well, the same thing. He was...
Congratulations, yeah. Joe. Always a class act.
Go ahead, heckle away.
Well, he now tells me that our stream is crushed or crunched or something like
compressed.
That.
Yeah.
What were you heckling in the back
then, Joe? That's right.
He was saying that the quality of the stream is not bad.
Why are you explaining what he was saying when he was heckling?
Because it's necessary.
It was all a misunderstanding.
Hi, Joe!
And you know what?
Smith hold on. Died. And we still got the guy in Seattle on the phone.
And you started with me by going, when I said, can you record that? And you went, yeah, of course.
Well, of course you can.
But it just sounds like it's a pretty complicated process.
Well, Mike, to be honest, I said, yes, you can.
You
do
both
it.
Did, and I'm like, but I said I was an idiot. For
I thought there would just be a simple way that you could just push a button and burn right from listening on the internet to burning it on a disc.
Not that easy.
But what I take from this is, wouldn't John and Joe be great on The Amazing Race?
You're right.
Are you still there, Sleepless in Seattle?
Yeah, I'm still here, man. I love you guys.
Yeah, it sounds like you're screwed.
What's that?
Yeah, you got to move to where the food is, my friend.
Okay, all right, guys, have a good one.
All right, see you later.
Only so much we can do.
Bye-bye. Move to our brand-new hot market, Albuquerque.
Oh, baby!
It's warmer, mm-hmm. And you'll enjoy the show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
We've not pissed off anybody yet. We've been on that station over a week.
Yes.
Pretty good for us.
That's right. Month ain't over yet.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yes, Mark, hello.
Sacramento.
What?
Can you hear me?
Barely. Unfortunately, yes.
Hey, Don and Mike, you missed it. You needed to ask him to give you the Jeff Probst line. Don and Mike, you're the last team to arrive. I'm sorry to tell you, you've both been eliminated from the race.
Yeah, that's just like Survivor.
And who
would really go well on one of our little drop-ins, sir.
Who knew they had a line?
They don't.
More like a paragraph.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, I just, I hate to bring up the episode this morning, but I wanted to know if Don saw the light.
Did you see the bright white
the episode
light?
Of what?
You're passing out.
Oh, I thought he meant like an episode of a TV show.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I don't understand why the word episode was in this gentleman's inquiry.
Yeah, in my medical episode this morning.
Oh, medical episode.
The medical episode.
Gotcha. Okay, Buzz, you're right. It's an episode.
I saw the light of my girlfriend's eyes. I don't see any light. Nah. Are you kidding me?
Just checking.
Get out of here.
Buzz, you occasionally speak fluent Iraqimento.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to know really about last night, here's what it was. I said, you gave me that genie thing that said three wishes.
Right.
Here's what I want. To quote my brother, sex and steak.
Right.
I would like a very nice steak,
mm-hmm.
And I would like that that crazy salad that you make that has the chopped onions and the blue cheese and the tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And then make a fantastic Valentine's Day dessert.
As I always say, who doesn't feel sexy after blue cheese?
And onions.
Listen, I'm really not going to put Janet on the air over and over again.
Right.
But when we go to Atlantic City this weekend.
Yes.
And Mike and I and Carla are going with Janet to... And that's exactly how it's going to be.
Three on one. That just sounded sexual.
I know. Mike and Carla and I are going to Atlantic City with Janet.
With Janet. Right. It's the three of us in the front seat and Janet in the back.
I know.
She will tell you this weekend, when we socialize together in Atlantic City, that my breath is not a problem.
Well, it's because of the aforementioned teeth brushing.
Correct. Oh.
And incidentally, it hasn't been lost on me. I know you don't surf the web like I do, but it's been... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Friend,
yes.
My dentist told me...
Yes.
I almost said that. What is that tape? It's like... Somebody told me. Oh,
that's Ed McMahon.
Irwin told me.
Yeah, Irwin told me.
That's
okay.
What it is.
I'm sorry.
It's Dr. Smith.
Right.
Irwin told me.
Irwin told me. Your dentist said, what about teeth? Problems?
I had a message from my dentist's office the day after we talked about it.
Right.
Where they said, you tell Mike O'Mara and Buzz Burbank that if their dentist is telling them it's okay to brush their teeth one time a day, that is not the case.
I don't believe we've gotten any medical advice on that.
No, I don't think our dentist
kind
knows.
Of do it. You know, we weren't backing that up by by dental experts.
We're just seeing what we can get away with.
But I was going to say before you mentioned that, for the clowns on the internet, I really do appreciate some of these websites that show my teeth. Thank you so very much for the lovely displays. Oh, you know, what's his? Our buddy has put a picture on with Mike's teeth, and it's this picture of a guy's rotten mouth. And brush your teeth, Mike, you know. And those gags were rampant for a while.
Well, no, I mean, there's not a problem.
So what you're saying is, of course, it's not a problem. Problem because you
brush my teeth compulsively
prior to any activity after the dinner. You would brush your teeth immediately.
Bingo. So what a night this was. I had it set up perfect. It steak and that nice salad, make a nice tasty some type of dessert,
right?
Then we'll watch American Idol, then we'll go upstairs, and this is gonna happen, and then I'm gonna lay on my big fat ass and go to sleep. As soon as we're done, no snuggling, no talking, no nothing. You're going to do everything. You're going to take care of the dogs. You're going to turn on the alarm system. You're going to turn off the lights. I'm just going to lay there like Hugh Hefner and just bathe in my...
That was a wish?
Yeah. Wow. Worked out great.
Pretty good wish. Right?
Worked out great. Went home, had perfect steak, perfect salad. Some very nice brownies. Sorry, no hash, Buzz. Watched American Idol. Went upstairs. Did Daddy's little showtime. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, it's ass up, face down on the pillow, and I'm up at 6:30 this morning.
I thought you said you were laying on your back.
Well, I eventually move over.
Right.
You know, I don't go that way. You know what I'm saying, Mike?
Right.
That way. Oh, boy. What a good night that was.
Sounds like it.
What a good night of sex.
When you woke up in the morning, was it difficult to pull yourself out of the bed?
When I got up, it was like someone had...
That somebody super glued you to the bed?
To the sheets.
I would think so.
The sheets.
Be very, very difficult.
Without getting terribly explicit...
All right.
And I'm sorry. I'm not doing this because you jumped in with your sex thing before.
Have I said anything? Have you heard me say anything? I'm sitting over here and taking it like a man.
I think everybody may know what Daddy's special desire is. You know my videos that I like.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Last night. Okay. How big is a king size bed?
Like 5 feet across. Six.
Pretty large.
How long?
Feet across.
From 6x6.
From the headboard.
6x6. I think 6x6 sounds right.
I think it's 6x7 feet.
Oh, maybe.
Well, what did you think of a young stallion who could...
Throw those keys at you. All right.
Is it
6x6 or 6x... Who the F cares,
because
you know?
If you're 6 feet tall, what are your feet going to lay off the edge?
6x6,
what are you
6x7.
About?
He's just, you know, Mr. Detail. It's driving me nuts over there.
That's good. Ask a question and then don't want the answer.
What was the question? How big's a king size bed?
Oh, right. Right. What did he say? What is it?
Buzz and I were just saying 6x6.
No, I think it's 6x7. Yes, you can record.
off the stream.
Oh, it's about that.
Still yes, on that. Still on that. Half that.
Sorry about that.
All right, no problem.
Seven feet.
Seven feet.
Incidentally, that would be the winning distance last night.
Wow.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. That's why I said it was a special night.
Wow.
Special night.
The painters are there today?
No, Buzz. Actually, it was off the bed and past the little bench that sits at the foot of the bed.
Down the hall.
Wow. And actually, no.
Made a turn.
No, you know what? You go ahead and mock. But I want to tell you something. That when I was done, I was so proud.
Right.
I was down by the end of the bed. Let me do this carefully because we're on the radio. But I was putting my hands on the bed going, hold on, where's the spot?
Checking.
There's a spot. And then there was a slipper on the floor that was, so it was bed, bench, slipper. Mm-hmm. $2 on the slipper. I hold up the slipper and I say, baby, you're the greatest. That's 7 feet. 7 feet of love.
That is without question the most disgusting thing I've ever heard you talk about.
Thank you, friend.
Even there's something about the way you did this one. Even when you tell your little story about being in the bathroom when you had that girl, that's nothing compared to that one. This one, I swear to God, I'm my lunch is coming up right now.
There's something come on.
About. Well, yes, it's gross. It's gross.
What's gross about
the
it?
The slipper.
It's natural.
The slipper. Who's not grossed out?
Nothing natural about a slipper. God did not give a slipper.
I know you're proud of yourself. I know you want to brag, but it's gross.
It's like a guy who can throw a football 80 yards. I can't do anything athletic. The one thing I can do athletic, I can do with my penis.
Sadly, there's no award for that.
Thank God there's not.
A letter in it.
My God.
Oh.
So anyway, just get that mental picture in your mind.
I'm trying to think of a segue, and there is none.
I'm laying there.
None exists.
I'm laying there, and I get up, and I'm going to go to the bathroom, and I'm going to lay in the bed and go, oh, God, wow, that was, look at this, all the way down here. Wait, oh, got some here. Look at this, on this thing right here, on the slipper, on my black Green Bay Packers slipper.
Oh, wow.
Two big drops.
I don't know what to say. I really feel like if I say congratulations, I'll be encouraging you.
Those were probably the first wave, is what I was estimating.
And you see,
when you're thinking
as I become more and more grossed out, we will be continuing to get more and more detail. And I, you know, right now I don't know what to say. I'm not.
How was
I
your
can't
sex
say,
last night, Mike?
Huh?
You had sex with your girlfriend. You were bringing that up earlier in the show.
You've wiped me out.
Oh, come on. How was it?
It was as it always is. Outstanding.
Good. What'd you do?
Incredible.
What'd you do?
I don't do that. That's your thing. You do that. I just said it to annoy you, and now I'm being paid back with your incredible,
because I wasn't
horrendous detailed story of your incredible prowess of Superman through the wall, down the hall. Jesus. And now you're looking at me like, no, I'm not questioning it, Don. I'm believing every word of it. Okay? I'm not questioning your authenticity.
I don't want to prove it to you.
Jesus.
I don't think I could prove it to you.
Wow.
Cool. Carla coming to the mailbox on Saturday. There's a slipper in here.
Well, that's wonderful. That's terrific, and I'm glad you're proud of it.
I am. Wouldn't you be?
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
I'm going to.
I think all men. You know what? I will answer
I
you honestly.
Be
can I? May 49 I answer?
49 years old this year.
May I answer you?
Yes, please.
I will tell you that I think any time that happens for anybody when there's a particular. I hate being on this subject, but I have to be honest.
Please.
A distance issue. I think we are all kind of that. That to me represents intensity, and that represents quality, and that's good. That means it was very, very good.
You are correct.
Thank you. I sure hope that we're not, you know, that we're able to get all this on the air.
Everything is cool. Everything is absolutely cool.
I mean,
you're speaking in double secret.
I could lie. I could lie and say it doesn't mean anything, but that would be lying.
Yeah.
That would be a lie.
That's true. Mike, it's like one of the few talents I have, but it's a talent that I can't share with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, look me in the eye. Look at me.
What do you want?
Look at me. Look at me.
What?
I can't tell anybody except my closest friends.
That's 6 million listeners.
But they don't count because I can't look them in the eye.
No, I understand. I mean, it is something to be cherished, I suppose.
7 feet. No wonder I slept like a baby.
No wonder.
My God.
Not I'm always out. Like that, right?
No. No. I mean, okay. Normally, at least past between my knees and my ankles, at least.
That's incredible. That's very powerful.
Not a regular time. Not a regular one.
Not me. Not even close. Not even close. Does that make you feel better?
Was yours like a dribble cup? No, come on. I bet if you worked on it. Now, this is not too gay. I hope that Tim Hardaway is not offended by this conversation. Mm-hmm. I bet if you worked on it.
What do you mean worked on it?
Well, it's a skill.
No, it is not. It is an involuntary reflex skill. So please do not put this into the Hall of Fame yet.
Like, hold on. You know, is Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan's fall away jump shot a gift from God?
It is a skill.
Or is it the fact that he's worked on it and honed it and refined it?
Listen, if it was a question of
when it comes to
two-a-day workouts, you know, you and I would both be tied in that department.
You know, that's what they call guys that are always into it.
When it comes to that, I believe most men are gym rats.
Always working on it.
I think you got everybody working out. I think everybody's on a fairly frequent workout plan. And even if they tell you they're not, they are.
How'd things work out for you last night, Buzzy?
I can't talk about it.
Why?
Well, because nothing happened.
Oh, my.
You're an honest man, Buzz.
I am.
Well, I think we should talk about that when we come back.
Well, what is there to say?
Well, there's a lot to say.
I think I've just said it all.
Did you want it?
Of course.
Oh.
Are you crazy?
Oh, my.
Were you too full?
No.
No.
No. No.
What was the problem?
She fell asleep in front of the TV.
Oh, my. See, I was too full again last night, too.
Sometimes it's good like that, though, Buzz.
I was too full last night, but I actually, you know, right before Betty Bye.
Uh-huh, that's a good thing.
You got what?
Motivated? Well, we both got motivated. It came out of a little spooning. We were both kind of turning in, and we decided to wait a little while before we went to sleep. That's how that happened.
Nice.
So spooning turned into intercourse.
Yes. Yeah, and it was wonderful. But, you know, I got not nearly past my knees. Jesus. You freak.
Hey! Someday I'm going to be in the movies.
You better hurry up with that.
You'll be laughing then, Pee Wee Herman.
You better hurry up with that. You know? For there's not much. What does Jack Bauer say? There isn't much time. Oh, hell, what do you mean there isn't much time? There's probably plenty of time.
Hell.
Look at Jack Kent Cook.
And besides, it would just be my nether regions.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. You know what? Don't you
think? That's all you'd see on camera.
Don't you think they've done that? Of course they've done that. Don't you think that those films have stunt doubles?
Imagine that.
They they have all sorts of tricks for that particular thing.
It's like the episode of Seinfeld where George becomes a hand model.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if I became a stunt model for the happy ending scene in a movie.
Well, I know for a fact they do that all the time for guys that can't, get the job done. They cut to a guy that can get the job done.
Stand in, yeah.
And then they also have tricks for that moment that are more... much more insidious than just having another guy come in there. They have all sorts of things to pretend that it's...
Really?
Oh, you bet. I think we had a guy on the show talking about that.
Yeah, we did.
A girl talking about that, one of the girls in the industry.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
It was Phil Kogan.
It was
Kogan.
It was Boston Rob.
Race. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Oh, Don.
Yes, Don and Mike. Howdy.
Frankenstein.
Hi there.
Frankenstein analogy. And Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
I think your distance is partly my mulatto friend from the one side of your ancestors.
Okay.
Let's not go there, please.
This is Robert the Mailman.
That was a compliment.
But it's, Don, I have to say, it's something you've brought up yourself over the years.
Yo, yo, yo.
The potential.
All right, we'll come back and discuss this and other things. And how about you, Rob? You got a nice piece of ass last night? This morning.
Yeah.
Hey, Buzz, how does that make you feel? Even Rob got laid.
I did. Suicidal.
That's how I felt.
Hey, you know what? Bye. This was a good second segment of the show. Sure, I think we all deserve a shooter.
Hey, you know something?
What?
No, what? I had a dream last night.
Tell me. God damn, it's raining men.
All right. Oh, Mrs. Lincoln, your husband's been shot.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Larry, we need to talk.
It's over?
What's over?
Marriage?
Why would our marriage be over?
You said we need to talk.
Yeah, we need to talk about Marty Funkhauser's party.
Oh, okay. I thought... forget it.
Think?
Well, you know, you said we need to talk. Generally, when couples break up, that's how they introduce it. You know, we need to talk, so I just thought of it.
Why would you even think that?
Well, because women have broken up with me many times, and they've always introduced it with, we need to talk, so I'm just sort of conditioned for that response.
And when women broke up with you, did you light up like that?
Light up? Did I light up?
Oh, it's over?
You know, it could have been a defense mechanism. That's how I react to things. I go the other way, so I don't get hurt. I protect myself. You understand? What's the, what about the party?
Have you been thinking about this for a while?
No, not at all. No, of course not.
Those are nice shoes Buzz has on, but I'd hate to be in them.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
What if one of the kids needs a kidney one day? You're going to give your kidney to Richard Lewis? No.
You'll give it to him.
I might not be the match, Larry. He needs his kidney, number one. Number two, he's a fat he can't even survive the surgery.
How do you know he can't survive the surgery?
You're healthy and thin. You're giving the kidney. End of discussion.
Caution. Retards in area.
Oh, yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you.
He's mentally retarded.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
And Mike, howdy.
Hey, in reference to that last segment, though, you going to get that right out to the fans?
What if you could, right?
Yo. I would, Mike.
Yeah?
Except, as always, like with setting boogers or hairs or snot or blood or number three, anyone could take that. I've seen CSI.
Yeah.
Could take that and smear my DNA all over some crime scene somewhere.
Exactly.
And I don't need it, dude.
And also, you know, you're dealing with probably a dust factor after a while, and you don't want anybody to think they're getting anthrax.
For Rob, I'm thinking maybe eBay.
Unless I kept it, like, in a nice cool environment, like...
Humidor?
Like, right, in the humidor without my cigar. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hey.
Hey.
I wanted to touch base with you guys about this whole dental thing. I'm a dentist out here in California, not Sacramento. Need to update these guys on their hygiene 101.
Oh, you're talking to us right now, Doctor.
Right, you're on with us.
Ah, very nice, gentlemen. This once-a-day thing is not going to work. However, the twice-a-day is good, but you guys got to floss. The brushing is just kind of a...
Now, there's backup for your theory, Don, that the once-a-day is not cutting it.
We kind of knew that, and we both floss. We're the kings of floss.
Yeah, I floss passionately. I floss to the point where it goes up near my eye socket.
He sounds like a California dentist, doesn't he? You got to floss.
But at least give him credit. He did preface it by saying, I'm calling from California, not Sacramento.
But right. By saying that, it makes me think he is from Sacramento. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Chico.
Hello?
Howdy.
Hey, you guys were talking about stand-in actors in porno films.
Stockton.
We were stand-in actors in pornos, yes.
Yeah, well, back in the 70s, I saw something on an 8mm film where this girl was able to undo circumcision. The guy went in uncircumcised and came out circumcised.
Now, there you go, and there's your proof that they use stand-ins.
Okay, thank you.
I don't think 8mm.
Hello.
You didn't have to go back that far.
Don and Mike Show. That's like a bad continuity error.
Tremendously bad continuity. Everybody, you know, you look back at those 8mm films, who cares?
Audience. One of those gaffes.
Not that picky.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Gaffes.
Gaffes.
Hello.
Hello.
A raging gaffe. Yes, go ahead.
What's happening?
How you doing, man? How you guys doing today?
All right, man.
How's that brain working today?
What's happening? What up?
I got to wind the brain up. Yeah, I was wondering if that was a ricochet shot or was that direct?
Mmm, so good.
So good.
It was so good.
Kiss my fat ass.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Howdy.
Hey, John. Don, I had a quick question. How logistically did you start your relations and then get the official Olympic measurement there?
What you do is, I got to be careful how I say this. I get my position on the bed where my ass and everything else is. I generally go from the spot where my ass is because, you know, you do a 180 from that and you find the business end.
Right.
And it's very simple. You can either get a tape measure, which I have, or you can simply stand by the bed and count off 1 feet, 2 feet, 3 feet, 4 feet.
I still think it was
wrong. Yeah, but
one of the dogs is drooling.
5 feet, 6 feet. Mike, I don't let the dogs in with us.
But Don,
that oogies me out to have the dogs around.
And it's my opinion that any man that calls to inquire about this is G-A-Y.
And he would be hated by Tim Hardaway.
Wouldn't he? You know that what you're saying there, though, Timmy, is flatly homophobic, right? It's just it's bigotry.
Well, I hate gay people, so.
God.
Tim Hardaway.
And the guy doing that that interview is Dan Lebatard. I've met the dude before. I call him Dan Lebaretard. he's a very personable guy. He's filled in on the PTI show.
Lebatard.
Is he gay? Robbie's from Miami.
Oh, well then.
Everybody's gay in Miami, for goodness sakes. You know who's not gay is Buzz Burbank.
Really?
Hey, Buzz?
Yes, hi.
Is it bad if we ask you what happened last night, or should we just move on?
Wait, no. I mean, there's really nothing to tell. Honestly,
it was your Valentine evening. Yeah.
Well, can I ask what happened with the with your internet gift that you were going to give Marcia?
Actually, she and I talked about it, and because we've done a lot of expenses and things lately, we decided not to do exchange gifts this year for Valentine's Day. So we did cards and candy and dinner and then fell asleep.
I thought that you already had like some spa thing that you printed out from the internet.
I had
for her.
It picked out. I had a specific menu item chosen, and all I had to do was push a button, print it out on the quality stock, and away we go. So I was able to make that last minute call, and it was a good thing I didn't really, because she didn't do anything either, and that would have made her uncomfortable. So it worked out fine.
Did you hear Shecky in the background there say "Around the World"?
Yeah.
Your menu.
Yeah, he's torturing me.
Yeah, he is torturing. But you adhered to his philosophy of the. You know, no gifts on Valentine's.
Yeah. See, but that's
that's the way it worked out this year.
Yeah, but not on purpose, right, Buzz? Because the way you were presenting it yesterday was
poised to do whatever was necessary.
Okay, why didn't you get her something in advance of yesterday? Even though I understand that you said that what you had was just a click away.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to get her the thing for the spa,
right,
all you had to do was just click and print out the thing on your high-quality glossy paper. Is it when you got home and she didn't have anything for you that you said, I'm not going to bother? So
no, we'd actually talked about it about after the show yesterday, I guess it was, and she said, you know, don't do anything because I didn't do anything, and so I didn't.
Because I thought yesterday you said on the air, don't say anything about that because you were going to give it to her last night.
And so when I got home, she said, hey, whatever that is you're doing, don't do it because I didn't do anything. So we agreed we're not doing anything this year.
And it sounds like you were both very tired.
Well, not both of us.
No. Oh, just her.
Yeah, I guess.
Long day?
Yeah, probably so.
Working hard.
Had she taken a sleeping pill or something?
Not that she knows of.
was it a good Valentine's Day, Buzz?
Not the best, no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Really, not that good.
Middle of the week, it's nasty, horrible cold, so you can't really get out and get around. School night, as it were, and the agreement, because of other expenditures, not to do anything for Valentine's Day.
Do you, like my esteemed partner here, occasionally have a little adult beverage when you go home in the evening?
No. No,
you don't.
Not usually, no.
Okay. I was just wondering whether, like, a glass of wine or something like that would have maybe loosened everybody up a little
bit.
Yeah. Maybe that would have been a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not repeating what you're saying, Ron. I'm not going to do that every single time as you heckle Buzz.
I'm not heckling.
I'm not.
Heckle from the front row, boy.
But Rob heckles you more than anybody on the show, and I've enjoyed his heckling today. So I'm not going to be his conduit
in a
anymore.
Loving way.
Anything to unwind at the end of the day?
Not. No.
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 Me neither.
Say that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's a guarantee.
That might have been the reason that it was this morning and not last night.
I'll stick to that.
That might be the reason I was dancing around the bed going,
7 feet!
Because there might have been a gigantic tumbler of vodka involved before the gymnastics.
Well, how about this? I didn't have anything last night.
Now that's, you see, that, I don't understand that.
You know what, you're not trying, Mike.
I know.
You're not trying. If you go... A day without drinking for you, you know, you give the rest of us hope. The rest of us that don't drink every day, you give hope to us.
I'm trying to count now.
I hate nights when I don't drink.
Man, I'm thinking, I'm almost like 2 weeks.
Why?
Yeah, me too, just not with alcohol.
Oh, God.
Maybe not. No, I said I don't want to lie. I want to make sure I get my facts straight.
Has it been 2 weeks, Buzz?
No. Surely it can't be that long.
How long has it been?
Oh, you know what? The last time I had a drink was at the Absinthe show.
That would be 2 weeks ago tomorrow.
Is that the reason you've been abstaining?
No, just, you know what? This is, I'm really, I don't want to screw up my reputation here. I just haven't really thought about it.
You see, I don't get that because even with my ass trouble and, you know, and if I'm hungover in the morning, by the time the night comes, don't you just want to taste it?
You know what? You guys, in your own way, you guys can do the moderation thing. You know, for me, yeah. It's much more of a commitment.
Excuse me, I was just going to say, yeah. if I could flatter Mike for a moment, we are amateurs. Even you in drinking.
Oh, I know.
Wimps.
He's a pro. I want to tell you something. I believe him. He's gone 2 weeks without a drink.
I do, too.
And I believe when we go to Atlantic City this weekend, he will drink 2 weeks' worth of drinks in one night.
Absolutely.
He'll catch up. We'll have a great evening.
I mean, we will start with dinner, maybe a little bit before, depending on you know whether there's a little gambling, you know, a little pre-dinner gambling. And then dinner. And the way I've envisioned this, and then we will have much to celebrate at dinner. And I'm guessing that... you know, I'm not sure what time, but I know you're kind of an early to bed guy, and I've discussed this. I would probably assume that. What time do you think you'll crap out after dinner on Friday?
Really,
night?
In Atlantic City,
you can go a little later, right?
I can go all the way till midnight.
Wow,
that's good, and I will probably go till 4 or 5 a.m. Not drinking, but just being up. No, I won't.
There will be drinks.
I might even turn in when you turn in, huh?
There will be drinks.
Oh, yes.
He can pack in all the drinking that you and I can do in a week. He can pack it in one night.
See, that's the
especially
thing.
When it's been that long, too, and it'll be over 2 weeks.
Every night.
It might be over 2 weeks. I might have one tomorrow night.
Every night, if you just, you know, stop at 5 or 6, you know, and then call it a night, and then you're okay.
I think that's fine.
Don't you?
For you to say.
But then if you drink once a week and you have 35 beers...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, doesn't it wipe out the entire 2 weeks of moderation? If you go into an evening after you go on 2 weeks and then you have like 20?
Yes, that's like Elvis with the peaches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and popsicles.
Elvis heard that you could lose weight by eating peaches, peaches and yogurt, but he ruined the plan by having
pigged out on
30 peaches and 30 containers of yogurt.
I make no secret about the fact that I'm a bit of a binger. Mm-hmm. When it comes to that, mm-hmm. I make no secret about the fact that you know that I can hold my liquor better than anybody on this show.
You're a pro.
Thank you.
You are a pro.
But I think that that will result in very, very serious long-term health issues.
Sure, it
could.
And you came to this realization when?
About a half an hour ago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What does it qualify as a binge? I can never remember. Buzz, do you remember there?
You've been. No,
I know I have. Yeah. I know I have. I just forget where it is.
Well, I mean, binging is, I think, anything over a six-pack.
Okay. Yeah. It's made a stopping point tonight.
Only over four hard drinks, I would think.
Well, how many beers did you have last night, boy?
Five.
Just shy of a binge.
How many beers do you average a night?
Four or five.
Came as close as Rob does the lie there.
That is the real lie. Yeah, just heard him really try to lie.
I would say, really
four
the average.
Five.
I drink about a case a week. Because I might, maybe, yes, 24. So that was.
I don't think that's all that 24.
That? 6 times 4 is 24.
All right, then it's probably 35 beers a week. 7 times 5.
There you go.
And maybe there's a night I don't drink, and maybe there's a night I have more.
If you do you have the occasional night when you abstain completely?
Yes. Yes,
do you have trouble sleeping when you do that?
Sometimes.
I'm giving a little bit of an informal test here.
Yeah.
Do you,
I sleep fine.
Huh? Do you?
No. That's the thing. I can have 35, and then, like, for the 2 weeks.
You can have 35 beers.
Yeah. And then,
in one night?
In one night. Uh-huh. And, oh, sure. And then, no, I don't think 35.
No,
you know what? You know what I can generate for you? And I think I can. I can probably generate my average.
Why don't we just count this weekend?
Well, because I'm, you know, it's different this weekend.
But then you divide it by 2 weeks.
No, I'm just talking about just on, let's say, just Saturday
night. Well, I'm not going to try to get, like,
I'm not asking you to set a record.
Because drinking is a small part of what we're going to be doing. We're going to be eating, we're going to be drinking, and we're also going to be doing something that I like to have a little bit of my wits about me, if you know what I mean.
I've seen you stand at that Wheel of Fortune machine out of your mind, though.
Yeah, but I'm not a good blackjack player when I'm faced. I'm not. Well, but trust me, I'm not going to... What, do you want me to get pukey drunk?
No, I want you to just be yourself. What I'm saying is...
Trust me, you won't be disappointed.
What I'm saying is...
Right, I know I won't.
So just count that number. Yeah, I just don't want to put a number on it. You know? I mean,
of course
it's silly.
I would say the over-under would be 10. That would... Wow. If I was the Vegas line, that's... Okay, so Mike's indicating it would be over 10.
Well, keep in mind the amount of time and also a dinner in the middle of it.
10 is fine. 10
would be the over-under on number. And just to keep it generic, even though you'll be drinking other stuff, let's say a number of beers.
10 will be, I would assume, if we're not doing the wine thing, which I don't think you and I do.
No.
We're going to do our own regular stuff. You know, we drink our hooch of choice.
Hard liquor for me.
At dinner, 3 to 4.
Right.
And then,
out of the tables.
The tables.
And maybe one or two before dinner, remember?
Yeah, definitely one or two before
dinner. Are you still
dinner.
On that kick where you're saying you don't smoke cigarettes?
Now that I'm really now listen, I need your help on that.
Because here's the thing.
Because I mean I'm gonna smoke cigars with you because I'm gonna try like hell not to. Now that's what I fear. I've been a long time without that, and that I really have to stop.
So you say I can picture you and I in that bar we like so bad, sitting there just talking, drinking, talking, and then
I've already decided what my The problem is I've decided what my hooch of choice is going to be. You
know, yes.
And that's going to be it's going to be one of the brown liquors. And I think that will go well with, I'm going to buy my own, I'm going to bring some Stogues down with me. Because I'm going to try to stay off the cigarettes.
Which brown liquor?
Irish whiskey.
Okay. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Maybe vodka.
Really? Not beer?
Definitely not beer.
Not beer?
Well, maybe, though.
You know what, though? Beer is a bad casino
not,
drink.
But maybe.
Because of
I'm getting a little excited about it now because
sure.
I'm thinking
Here's
about all the...
Gonna
I'm just thinking about it now. You know, I'm thinking about, I've been thinking about
table.
It all day, like what I'm going to wear.
You're going to be sitting at a table. Right, we're going to be playing cards. And she's going to come by. And you know what you're going to say? Heineken Light.
Probably.
That's what you're going to end up saying. So don't say no beer because that's like your go-to.
Yeah, it is. And that's also the sustainable. You know,
it's like a bottle of water for you. It's a Heineken Light.
I'll be drinking those when you get up the next morning.
Just to come down. It's like soda.
And I might stay with that all night. That might be actually my choice. And that, you know, because I do want
to
maintain.
If you stick with Heineken Light when we go to Atlantic City, the over and under goes to 20.
Wow.
It should.
Double?
It should.
Yeah.
If Mike sticks just to Heineken Light.
That's you're talking about a long time.
But the problem with beer on the casino floor is of all the liquors, beer makes you pee the most because it's got the most fluid.
That's good, too, that you take a break from the tables.
Again, hold on, though.
Yeah.
Mike is an all-pro. He has the bladder of a camel. I swear
I do.
To God.
I do.
I have seen him.
Wow.
No. I was thinking of something else. Another guy who we once went to Atlantic City with, who did a lot of something else,
right?
Which made him stay awake for like a week.
Huh.
And
playing roulette.
Mike and I stood and watched this guy, just coked out of his mind, playing roulette, and it was so funny.
Just we were actually, you know how in a casino you have rows.
Yeah.
Of all the games and the table games, and we were like one row over.
Okay.
So we were actually looking across a row to the following side, and just absolutely, it was pure entertainment because he had one expression on his face. He looked like a fish in an aquarium because his lips were in this kind of, and he was just maniacally moving these chips all over the numbers like they do. I don't know much about roulette.
Roulette is for nuts people.
Back in the go-go 80s, and we just stood there and watched this guy, and after a while of watching him and saying, he is motionless, and we had known the incredible amount of drugs he had pounded into his
body. You
want to
talk about a public service announcement for anti-substances. This guy was sitting there just going, you know, lucky he didn't keel over at the table.
And I remember after a while when we walked over to him and said, hey, are you okay? He was like,
yes, I am.
And then
could barely
focus, you know, on us because he had to go back to the. He was completely consumed.
That's where his mind was.
Do you remember we asked him, when's the last time you went to the bathroom?
Mm-hmm. Yesterday.
Wow. Probably true.
Yesterday. Now, Mike doesn't need that. Mike's got that natural, you know what? God, you're like a natural athlete when it comes to drinking.
The bladder.
The bladder lasts forever.
The Michael Jordan of drinking.
He's built. You know, it does when I'm, partying. It doesn't necessarily if I'm, drinking water on the show or anything like that. It's something about hops and barley just hate to leave my system.
You have to keep your head in the game.
Absolutely. Keep your head in the game.
Hello there, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, Donna Mike, how are you doing today?
Hey, that's been deleted. That's been deleted out. And
you thought you were proud, you pig.
Tim Hardaway hates you.
You total pig.
That is gross. That is.
I bet he hates that 10th time, though. Seems like a waste, doesn't it?
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
It's that old thing, why do dogs? Well, because they can.
And that 10th time is what we would refer to in baseball as a little chin music.
Caller indicated that 9 out of 10 times, nothing happens, but 1 out of 10 times, he can get the water right in the clown's mouth. To make the big balloon on top of the clown's head explode.
I don't even want to think that's true.
Isn't it nice to speak to Olympian Mark Spitz?
Spitz.
Now, listen, I ain't no homophobe. That's gay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's gay. I mean, if you're sitting there doing that, and then it starts raining, and you open up.
Especially 9 times in a row.
Oh, my God.
That's gay.
Wow.
You know that what you're saying there, though, Timmy, is flatly homophobic, right? It's just it's bigotry.
Well, I hate gay peoples.
Did he say peoples?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
Yes, he did. When we come back, we might have to hear the tape of Ann Curry laughing about that again.
Very good.
Ann Curry laughing about Tim Hardaway of the Miami Heat. Oh, and in case you screwed it up on Valentine's Day, don't we have that excuse guy coming up?
Yeah, we do.
As a matter of fact, it's coming up next, everybody.
And I'll be ordering a drink.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, so the setup is everybody knows about Tim Hardaway and the Miami Heat.
Yes.
What he said about gays.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the story on the Today Show, and of all people, Ann Curry,
the most politically correct anchorwoman in the world.
I swear to God, you could hit her in the head with a 2x4, and she would go, now back to Matt and Al.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to her crack up.
Here she is.
The host had asked Hardaway how he would interact with a gay player.
I hate gay people, so... I let it be known. I don't like gay people. I don't like to be around gay people. I don't, I'm homophobic. I don't like it. It shouldn't be in the world for that or in the United States for it. So I don't like it.
Hardaway later apologized, calling his comments a mistake. And the newest dollar coin is going into circulation today, bearing the likeness of George Washington.
It's funny,
Ann. The first dollar coin honoring former presidents. The design will change 4 times a year, each one honoring a different president. I am so sorry that I'm losing it over that, but it just went so far across the line.
You were laughing, and that was the problem.
Just laugh about it.
Consummate unprofessional. Don and Mike.
The politically correct way out of that is to say what he said was so unbelievable, I had to laugh.
Right? Well, the real root of the humor of that, the reason we're laughing at it is because he does. What he's saying is so funny because you never were here. An athlete publicly making a statement like that is hysterical.
And if she explained it like that, maybe you'd have a little respect for Ann Curry.
But she
right?
was too busy trying to explain it in a politically correct way.
Right. And that's the other thing about our society. We scream for people to be honest with us.
Uh-huh.
And then when somebody's honest, even when he says something that's stupid,
right.
he gets shot down.
Right.
He gets shot down.
I say Tim Hardaway is an American hero.
I guess I shouldn't have laughed at that.
To be totally fair. Okay, so the guy's got an opinion that's obviously bass backwards.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the balls to get on the radio and say it to Dan Le Batard. It's all over the place. Mm-hmm. Then when they come to you for a reaction, have the balls to stand by your stupid conviction, because what he offered up was kind of one of those, I apologize if anybody was offended. I feel right. The way that I feel. I don't really hate. Hate is a very strong word. But other than that, I kind of meant everything that I said.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you stand by the whole thing? You said you hate gay people. Stand by it. Stand by your statement. Rob does. Tim Hardaway.
Good advice.
No, really, if you're dumb enough
really?
To say...
Don't say really, you're going to make me laugh really? Again.
If you,
really?
If you are dumb enough to say it, be dumb enough to stand up the next day and say you got to...
Yeah, but the whole thing about being dumb like that, and that is, that's the dilemma, isn't it? We have to realize whether it's guts or that he's a man speaking of it, or it's just pure stupidity what he's saying. The thing is, if it's a stupid thing, which we both agree it is,
yes.
Somebody comes and corrects him. You know, it's like saying it's like bad grammar. Somebody gives you the correction, and then you have to, you know, if somebody gives you the heads up, then you got to come out. And you
I understand what I'm
face.
Saying is that you know you should have they should have he should have said, I know I said the word ain't, but I'm gonna go have a press conference that said I am proud that I said the word ain't
instead of isn't. Exactly what it would sound like.
Okay,
I'm using that word ain't, and I'll use it forever.
The NBA's canceled all his public appearances now. Hardaway is not going outdoors for a while.
Yeah, because a big Las Vegas NBA All-Star
right.
weekend
right.
this weekend.
Yeah, perfect timing. Perfect timing.
And I guess,
is he, I don't know anything about basketball, but I know Penny Hardaway was the, is there any relation between this guy and Penny Hardaway? Same guy or what?
I don't look the same, Mike.
Stop it. Behave yourself.
I don't know. I do not think they're related, although I'm sure someone will call and say they're cousins or something
okay.
like that.
Cousin!
Got no idea. Where's the excuse guy? Here he is, line number 8. Now, this guy's name is Mike DeMarco. I found his website, alibinetwork.com, and what he'll do is lie to your friends, to your boss, to your wife, to your girlfriend, for a certain amount of money. A small lie could run you like 15 or 20 bucks. An elaborate lie can run you thousands of dollars.
$10,000. I got a first question for this.
Here he is right now. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Hey, hi. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, thanks. I was a little bit frustrated. I keep getting calls from this guy, Tim. I don't know what he wants.
Tim Hardaway?
Tim Hardaway.
I didn't say that. Some guy, Tim. I got like 15 messages. I got to return it.
Mike, as soon as I read this, my very first question for you would be, are you like a doctor or a lawyer where someone comes to you and you have a an honor system where you're not allowed to divulge these secrets? Or are you not only making money developing these alibis for people, but you also could have the most incredible blackmail network of anybody known to man?
I guess theoretically we could, but if we did that, we'd certainly go out of business pretty quick, you know?
See, we could. So there's really no real protection for people that might contract it. I'm thinking, have you ever had a guy pay 10 grand?
Yeah, we have.
Okay, for 10 grand, what was the lie that the guy needed? Can you tell us that?
Yeah, actually I can. We had to set up a whole fake fishing trip for him. I'll show you some of the details, but you'll get the gist.
Okay.
We had to pick him up at 4 o'clock in the morning with four of his buddies, kiss the wife goodbye. We had to buy clothes for him. We had a professional buyer, pick up dinner jackets, suits, all the things that he wanted while he was on vacation.
Was this hold on a second, Mike, is this all getting towards the end of a scam so this guy can get away from his wife to go bang somebody else?
Okay, that's a good enough scenario. Close enough, yeah.
I'm just wondering why else you would have to hire some guy to come over and bring friends and buy clothes. But I didn't want to jump in the middle of your story, but the point of this is the guy paid 10 grand to get away from his wife, right?
Well, it's cheaper to keep her.
So the thing is, But you were saying dinner jackets and stuff like that. So,
well, sure, yeah. He's having a liaison somewhere. His wife was supposed to go on a trip, and he said, hey, I'm going fishing with the guys. I'll be back in 5 days. And her trip got canceled, so now he has to come up with, well, you know, I'm going fishing, right? That hasn't changed. He still has to get out of town. We set up the whole thing, soup to nuts, front to back, stowed his gear, went fishing in it for 5 days. He had wet clothes.
I got to stop you for a second. You don't know. God bless her, but my wife, who I was married to for 25 years, had the biggest crap detector. She had a LoJack on my penis that you would not believe. I am already thinking, how would Frida think about this? First off, how do you handle it when, if he's gone for 5 days and says, I'm going to go fishing, does he like maintain no contact at all with her? What if she says, what if I need to get a hold of you for an emergency?
Great question. We'll set him up online with a virtual fishing lodge. In other words, we make it up. There'll be a number to the fishing lodge that she can call if in fact, she has the urge to give him a call.
And does that number go to you?
It won't go to me personally, but
I mean, to your people?
Operators pick it up.
Okay.
How many people do you have working for you?
That can vary. It depends on influx. You know, Valentine's and Super Bowl are very busy, so February we're pretty staffed up.
You know what movie I'm thinking of, Mike? I'm talking to Mike O'Mara, but you too, Mike. The movie Clear and Present Danger.
Right.
When the bad guy who's banging the woman who works for the State Department, she calls to say her boss is going to be out of town, and they want to pretend that he's in a factory.
Right.
So they turn on a tape recorder that has factory noise, and his whore picks up the phone and goes, Landa, Landa. And she says, Mama, I'm calling for my boyfriend. He's on the factory floor. And remember, he's downstairs with the arms dealer. Mm-hmm. Bowling or something.
Yeah,
we can do that with the sound effects and everything if we need to. Absolutely.
Wow. Have you gotten? How long have you been doing this, Mike?
As a corporate entity for 2 years.
2 years. Had any close calls?
No. You know what? A miss is as good as a mile. You know. So I will say we've never been caught, as far as we know.
Right.
So how close is close? You know.
Is it mainly infidelities that you deal with?
It's about half of our business, infidelity.
50%. And I would think that my question at the beginning was a serious question, that I would think people that are that paranoid, that they are going to this extent to cover their ass, that they would have, want some sort of contract that would say, you know, hey, you know, don't reveal this this secret at all. Do you have any kind of protection like that?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's not a problem for us to do. It works towards our benefit because at the same time, we have them sign disclosures that says this is not for any type of an illegal purpose. Therefore, if they try to misuse us and law enforcement were to contact us, we'd have every legal right to turn them over.
Gotcha.
And we're protected.
All right. Then if it's not infidelity, if that's half of it, what are some of the other 50% of lies that people contract you to lie for?
Stay off work.
The day off of work
is huge. I mean, especially Super Bowl. A lot of people still work Sundays, Super Bowl Sunday. You don't want to go into work. You want to watch the Super Bowl if you're a man.
All right, how would you work that if you called our boss? He's a real tool named Michael Hughes. How would you work it?
We can't just give you a number four. The reality is we're consultants. We got to find out about you, find out about your boss. Does he have any reason to doubt you? Have you ever been caught before? I mean, where are you guys at in the relationship? How close is he going to check up on you? So there's no standard answer. I mean, everybody asks that. But if I said, you know, one thing over another thing, you'd probably be, well, that wouldn't work for me. Of course it wouldn't work for you. We haven't consulted with you. It's a kind of a, you know, it's an involved process.
And
so,
it sounds like the personal touch to me, Mike.
We aim to please.
How many of your clients are female?
Half. On the infidelity side, half.
Wow.
Give or take 5 points any given month.
Now,
and it's funny. When I first got started with this, I was like, it's going to be men cheating on women. It makes sense, you know?
Right.
It's not. And when guys come to us, they want to know what they should do. When women come to us, they say, okay, I want this. Yes, ma'am. They know. They're smarter than us.
I would imagine after 2 years, you would have to have a circumstance where you get the occasional guilty conscience. Where somebody decides that, hey, listen, I got to tell you this, I got to come clean. You ever have any bumps in the road because of that?
What, people coming clean about?
Well, like, say the guy that's cheating on his wife decides, or the girl decides that she's going to come clean. They're going to come clean with their spouse. They say, this is what I did, and you know, they mention that they use you. I mean, obviously, it's not a criminal thing. You have a disclaimer for that. But what about somebody calling you and saying, I can't believe you do this type of thing? You must have gotten something like that.
Guys, I get people calling and saying, I can't believe you do this type of thing, who've never even heard of us until they listen to your show. So, of course, that could happen. You know, in the interim, you've got, you know, if you're going to fess up to lying to somebody, especially if you're in a committed relationship, it sort of goes against human nature to say, okay, and then on the, then remember on Valentine's Day when I had to go on that thing? What I actually did was, and get this, honey, I hired a service to really put one over on you. It doesn't come out. You sort of say, hey, listen, you know, we're having some problems. I lied about doing this. Let's get some counseling. Let's talk. I'll cut my mullet, you know, so you'll do me again dirty like you used to. You know, I mean, whatever it takes. You don't get into every specific detail, and especially if there's a pending divorce, if you come clean on this, you really don't want to tip your hand because it's going to kill you in court. And we'll tell them that, too.
How much would you charge for a pedestrian lie, meaning, hold on, here's a good one. There's a family function, and I cannot stand being with my extended family. Get me out of this. Just generically, what would you throw out there?
You know, we could do some sort of a rescue call if you're on the way to the function or you just need a quick out. $35.
$35 for a rescue call.
You know, that's what I was looking for. Yeah, we could do a rescue call. $35.
In your alibi network, Mike, you got your superstars. You know, you got your real talented players that handle some of this stuff. I mean, I would imagine you get people that are good and people that are, you know, still in training.
We got tier one, tier two, and tier three. If you're in tier three, it's all money, baby.
Wow. Excuse me, boy. I'm choking to death here. That is too funny. Tier one, tier two, and tier three.
The website is alibinetwork.com.
Wow.
I think Buzz wants to talk to you during the break. Hold on, please. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, guys, alibinetwork.com. Believe it.
Gotcha. Thanks, Mike.
Hold on, dude. Really, the next guy that's going to speak to you, his name Buzz. Oh, he hung up, Buzz.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, that was slick E-boy right there, wasn't he? Aim to please.
No way. Let me just say, no way. I mean, Mike, you were absolutely right when you hit the nail on the head. You go to a doctor, you know that a doctor, they're going to put his ass in court, and he's going to say, I cannot say because that is a privileged conversation.
Right.
A lawyer, even as slimy as lawyers are, they are going to say the same thing.
Sure.
Even a bottom of the barrel reporter is going to protect a source.
A priest, you know, there are people that actually have to do it. Sure. He answered that right away, and he didn't answer it to, you know, buy at your own risk. As far as I'm concerned, you know, because really, I really, you know, he's been doing this for 2 years, and he answered some of these questions in kind of a little wobbly way. I think you'd have a situation where if somebody wanted to really clear the air, that he might not be liable for anything criminal, but he certainly would be, he would be in a pretty sticky situation if somebody wanted to come after him.
The morality of police, and also, Jesus Christ, $10,000 to set this scam up to get away from your wife, really, that must be the best piece of ass in the world.
Truly amazing.
If you're willing to spend $10,000 to fool your wife, can I tell you something, idiot, that's going to do that? You're going to hit that thing 3 or 4 times,
right?
And you're going to say, Christ, I wasted $10,000. Because sex is sex is sex is sex is sex.
It sounded to me like the 10 grand was one where he had it all figured out, and then she canceled the trip, so he was scrambling.
He had to call an audible.
Minute.
Right.
Yeah, it was an audible.
And the price probably went up. He said, hey, listen, then we're going to charge you $5,000 up because she figured it out.
Right.
And again, the woman that's waiting for him at a hotel or whatever, how much can that stink be worth?
You know, when you're talking about alibis.
$10,000. Yeah, right.
And when you're talking about alibis and you're talking about people helping you out, a lot of times in situations like this, don't you go to a trusted friend? You know, did Mike give you that feeling of a trusted friend in any way, shape, or form?
But you know, about that $10,000 lie, it was really believable because when the guy came home, he smelled like fish.
He did, and he had wet clothes.
He did. Soaking.
Mike DeMarco. Sleep well, my friend. He does, I'm sure.
He will, Mike.
Rescue call, $35.
God. Now imagine that. And what would that rescue call be? That you're at a family barbecue?
Oh, I bet they do about anything.
And the phone rings, and what would they say?
Maybe you're needed at work. You know what he said to me is that they fake a lot of hotel confirmation and receipts.
Really?
Yeah. So if you need, you know, they say, of course I was in Detroit. Here's the hotel.
And they have the disclaimer where it can't be anything criminal.
Right.
You know, and so they But still, if you use this service and you are, in fact, doing something criminal, I don't think he's protected on that.
No, he said he would throw you under the bus if you did something criminal on his
Oh, plan. Okay. All right. All right. That's well, then he is covered in that regard.
Yeah.
Come on. You know, my motto is always, is do it yourself. Why pay someone?
I think if you are a cheating dog, that you really should do your own driving on this.
If you apply yourself,
who has the time
to the task at hand?
Apply yourself to the task at hand.
You have to pay.
Because otherwise, if you don't, you're going to be looking over your shoulder. I don't care who it is. I mean, you figure somebody's working for this guy. They get disgruntled. Yeah, there are records. Don't you think there are records? There are credit cards? I mean, how are you paying for this stuff?
Since when do you have to pay to lie? Lying is one of the greatest free pleasures in the world. Hey, Joe!
Yeah?
You're doing a great job today.
Thank you. Hi, Joe!
Isn't lying great?
Lying's fantastic.
That'll be $35.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, here is Sharon Stone. Stoned.
Yeah.
Speaking to a bunch of German people.
Very good.
Sharon Stone.
You talk your bit, you move your bit. If you look at me wrong, you bit. Got it? He's naughty little German. Naughty, nasty little German. That's why I keep coming back. Because you're naughty, nasty. You like it?
No.
Sharon Stone.
They applaud that.
Don and Mike Show.
We love her.
Yeah. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
So good. Cut the jibber jabber.
What?
No, what?
I had a scream last night.
Well,
like a life-altering herpetic sore. The Don and Mike Show.
Why don't we go to this, the next break, let's go to that website, the Valentine's website. Because the expiration date on those things are running out.
Amen.
Let's put in the names. We have some websites to make love songs and poems.
Okay.
Let's use the names Don, Mike, John, Rob, Super Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Put those in our supercomputer.
Very
good. Come back with that in just a moment.
What about Buzz? Is Buzz included too in that? Do they accept Buzz?
Yes. Let's put Buzz in as well.
Very good.
Okay. Everybody's right. Names go into the computer.
Good stuff.
It'll print out cards. That's how our computer works.
What was that?
Our computer spits out cards. It's an old computer.
Wow. He said our computer spits out cards.
Well, we had to cut him a little slack because he was just on the phone with his family. So he's a little distracted.
Yes.
Hey, did you hear him do the shuffle with his wife?
Yes, yes. He's very sweet to his wife on the phone.
Sure, on the phone.
On the phone.
She was asleep, though.
You big lug. First he says, you want to hear something funny? This is the voicemail I set up on my wife's cell phone.
Right? And it was worth the wait. It was worth the wait.
And it's Rob's voice. It says, hi, this is Carrie. I'm not here. Leave me a message. So he plays it for us and we laugh. And then you said, oh, I know what it was, that they've already canceled school here in D.C. tomorrow.
And he wanted to call his daughter and tell her that she didn't have school.
And Rob was saying, using locker room talk is the best way I can describe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, man's man. Locker room talk said, I called home and I got a do not disturb because my wife, who works very hard and needs to take naps during the day because she works so hard raising our kids, is taking a nap and put the do not disturb on the telephone.
There's no way. It's do not disturb time in the house.
That's what you said. It's do not disturb time. There was no way of reaching her. All the phones were not being answered.
Exactly. Then she called back,
mm-hmm.
and I found out that it was indeed do not disturb time.
She had been napping.
Yes. And maybe the cell phone woke her. Maybe the deed was done.
Was she frustrated that the...
She's always frustrated. But, yeah, no more
but
than
But then
normal.
You were very sweet and loving, and it sounded
well,
good.
Well, part of that was talking to my son.
Okay.
It's funny. It's interesting watching someone else be two-faced with their significant other.
Well, we're all like that.
We all do it.
Yeah.
We all do the tough guy thing when we're around the boys, and then it's like,
hi, honey.
There was not enough time in the break to get out of the room, you know, so I had to sort of do it on display.
And we're all guilty of that.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, without using these words, what Rob was saying is, oh, that bitch is sleeping again.
Yep.
Then the phone rings, and he's like, hello, honey.
Hi, sweetie.
Hey, I was just thinking about you. Did you get a nap? Oh, that's good. What's for dinner? I just want to tell Julia there's no school tomorrow.
And then he hung up the phone and he went, die.
I did.
What's for dinner?
Steakums.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. That'll help your ulcerative colitis.
No tomatoes in it.
Poor Rob's butt is a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, well, we've had that for a long time.
Thank you.
I love steakums. Man, I haven't had those in a long time.
She'll fry onions.
Oh, really?
Good girl.
Mm-hmm.
Rob's butt is a mess.
Out of her.
Do you care?
Don't even know why I said that.
He beat the crap out of her.
He just said that, you know.
Then
he's going to be on the phone with her on the way home going, hi, honey. I thought I heard that.
Out loud? I won't call her.
Were you using your inside voice or your outside voice?
Oh, you would know the outside.
A crushing right-hand blow over a plate of steakums and onions.
Here it comes.
You want to meet my five guys?
Boom.
Here's my finger. Here's my thumb. Here's my fist. You better run.
Hi, this is Carrie. I can't come to the phone right now.
I'm not going to put a grapefruit in your face. I'm going to put my whole hand there. Tough guy.
And meanwhile, bring.
Hi,
my
dear.
Sweetheart.
Hello. I love you.
Love you so much. You're making steakums. That's good.
My favorite.
Hangs up the phone.
Ah, killer. I hate steakums. Bitch.
Choke on that steakum. Choke on that onion.
And I hope you burn your hand in the pan. I truly do. Thanks for making me my dinner. I hope when you're chopping those onions, you take off 3 or 4 digits. I come home to find you in a pool of blood. By golly, I love you. Oh, my God. WHYP. Hypocrisy 105.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
We all do it.
Hello. Not like him, though.
Nobody does it like him.
He's the best. Hello, Don and Mike show.
What the hell are steakums?
Steakums are those little mini steaks, those thin, that you put on a sandwich.
They're available in your grocer's freezer. Surprised you didn't know that.
No.
Your brain has the hard candy shell.
How old are you?
Your radio's up too loud.
I'm 29.
You should know what steakums are if you're 29.
Turn down your radio, dude.
I did turn it down.
No, you didn't.
You just did.
You have.
You don't know what steakums are.
No, I never heard that term before.
It's not a term. It's a product.
It's some sort of processed meat that's supposed to be
what
like
what would be the generic term for steakums?
Like
steakums is like Kleenex.
Like a
sandwich steak?
A Philly cheesesteak is what it's supposed to end up like, right?
Yeah, they're like little tiny frozen steaks that are on just paper thin, and the in between are little pieces of paper, and you break them off and you fry them in a pan. They're kind of like processed steak.
Like little pieces of roast beef almost.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to tell my bitch wife to make those then.
Good, and then hit her.
That's what we've started.
Then he's going to go back and scale.
Honey, would you make steakums? I heard it on the Don and Mike show. Here, can you make a sandwich steak, and then can I beat the crap out of you?
That radio is still way up too loud. Still up way too loud. Dyslexic I am. Dyslexic am I.
Like Yoda.
Is he still there? Is he still on the line?
Are you there still?
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I turned the radio off.
No, but why are you still on the line?
Because you haven't hung up yet. Am I supposed to hang up?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Eject.
No problem.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Who doesn't know what a steakum is?
Bye!
I would say people under the age of probably 25.
Really?
Wouldn't know what steak. No, because they haven't. When's the last time they had an advertising campaign?
I disagree.
You don't need it.
You see them when you go in the store. Hello, Don and Mike show, right?
How you doing? I wanted to ask if get to the phone and talk. Hello. How you doing?
Hold on.
I don't know why I laughed. It was the way we... I suddenly became, like, for just a moment in time, very aware of this show and the things we talk about seriously.
I had a bit of urgency to my voice.
Does something that's, like, in the store count, though, if they haven't been a part of the national consciousness?
Sure.
Yes, like, we grew up... I think we grew up when... We were young kids when they were having when Steakums came out, and there was this massive advertising campaign.
Yeah, but now you go by in the store and you see. I mean, for instance, here's something. Have you ever seen an ad? Maybe you have. I haven't, for Bubba Burgers.
Never seen an ad for Bubba. That's a great point.
Don't you buy them when you go in the store?
I've heard, because of word of mouth, you hear, hey, Bubba Burgers are great, and then you see them, and they're really noticeable in the frozen meat section.
And that you've never seen an ad for Parquet. Everyone knows what Parquet is.
I've seen ads for Parquet.
Oh, yeah. not in years, though.
Well, who even uses Parquet anymore?
Well, not me. I'm a butter guy.
I think you're completely confused after that call up to home.
You know what I say?
What?
I say, know what a Steakum is, or I'll kill you.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, what's up?
I want to know if when he answered the phone, I talked to his wife, and he's saying hello and whatnot. Did he say...
Oh! You're
gone.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, is this Don?
And Mike. Howdy.
Hey, guys. It's just... Calling about the Steakum things, you wonder why you're such a fat ass. You're eating all that processed crap.
Well, we weren't really wondering why we were fat asses. I'm pretty sure we know by why we're fat asses.
I know fully well why I'm a fat ass.
would there be another one in your barb of insults you wanted to throw at us? Because, gosh, we are... Mike, am I bleeding from the mouth? I feel like I was just tapped by that guy.
I feel like you've just gotten out of the octagon. I really think that I just got a body blow. Come on, bring it. Lay another one. Rain another one down upon us.
I'll tell you who likes my Steakums is your mom.
Well, she only likes it on back shaving day.
Is that what they serve at O'Mara's?
As a matter of fact, your mom wouldn't be served. We do not allow women with hairy backs. But you know what your mom does like? She likes something else in her mouth as well as Steakums.
Oh, yeah.
From the whole team.
What's that?
What?
The teeny weeny?
The teeny weeny? Are you describing yourself, sir? Oh, the nervous laugh.
All right. I'll put my pig in the blanket away. And
So that's the second?
6'7.5".
But you know what? Your mom already knows that.
Doesn't she?
And man, I tell you, it was fine until we had to cut her off because of the begging. It was disturbing hearing a woman that old beg that much. You know, really, we think when somebody gets to be that age, she really ought to just stop begging. It's not becoming.
That is true.
I mean, that's why we had asked Rob to beat your mom.
That's right.
And he
did that when she was pregnant with you. And that's why you came out the way you did.
Does she still have the scars from the bicycle chain?
Yeah, I still have a cone head.
Do you remember when we grabbed this guy's mom when she was pregnant, and we made her eat all those paint chips?
Oh, it was fantastic. And she said, no, what about the baby? What about that? We said, who cares? He's just going to grow up to be a smartass anyway.
I guarantee you give... How old are you, sir?
Say again?
How old are you, sir?
I'm 31.
She said... You wait 32 years from now, and this retarded child of thalidomide is going to call your show one day.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that. He's only calling because you guys are making love to me and making me eat paint chips. He's going to call and say you're fat, and then he's not going to have a way out of the conversation.
I found a dynamite golf ball when I was golfing out in the woods. Was that Mike playing?
I probably was. Do you have any kind of job where you'd actually have your business on a golf ball? Oh, I'm sorry. That would be McDonald's. That really wouldn't fall into the same category, would it?
And that's right. We eat at McDonald's because we're fat.
Mm-hmm.
Come full circle now.
So let me ask you, friend, why the anger?
No, I've just gotten away from all that processed stuff I've watched over years.
Pardon me? That was not an answer to the question that I asked you.
Shop around the edges of the supermarket, not down the frozen aisle section.
Oh, really? You're going to call us and give us advice about how to live our lives?
Yes.
Really? How about we turn it on you and critique you a little bit, friend?
Would you be willing to do that with us right now?
Tell me something. How you doing?
Can we maybe turn the spotlight on you just for a minute?
How's your life going, mister? I only shop around the edges of the grocery store.
Hmm. You in the physical fitness business? Perhaps a personal trainer of some kind?
No, I'm just very wary of the things that I consume.
Would you mind if we asked you what you did for a living?
I am in sales.
You're in sales?
What do you sell?
I sell software components.
Software components. So I'm gathering, not tremendously stimulating that particular job if you have time during the regular business day to call a radio show.
I just say we're fat.
You're not really happy with that job. I mean, really, who would be? Are you really happy with that job?
Of course he's not, Mike.
Not very happy sitting on 95 in bumper-to-bumper traffic.
So you decided to take a little of that frustration and call your favorite radio show. And even though you listen every day and you like that show, you decided you'd give the host a little crap.
A little bit. You guys are always dissing it. That's why I decided to give it a little.
So that's right. And really, where is it written that because we're smart enough to give it out to douches like you that you're supposed to be allowed to give it back to us? Hasn't anybody ever told you, son, that life's not fair?
Nah, that's
certainly not his supervisor at the software company when he says, man, this is the third month in a row you haven't cut the mustard. And we're thinking very seriously, well, especially today since you left early, of cutting you loose.
Oh, that's why I have to live vicariously to you, gentlemen.
Aha, now we're getting close. Ah, the nervous
laugh. There's the nervous laugh here again.
We're succeeding. We are succeeding.
Mm-hmm. So come on now. What are you
professional about this?
You know, I would think that if I was a failing salesman, what I would do is I would go right into the middle of the grocery store with all the processed food. And maybe sometimes in those grocery stores, they actually have the beer and wine aisle. And I would just load up and maybe go home tonight, sit in front of your small television set because you can't afford a big one, and drink yourself silly.
Drink your near beer.
And wake up and get a colonoscopy the next day.
I have no idea what that has to do with anything. Was that another one of your many attempts at trying to be funny?
Listen, I tell you what, friend, we may be falling apart, but seriously, we run circles around you. Are you kidding? On the scale of happening and not happening, I'd rather be fat sitting behind a microphone than skinny and miserable sitting on 95 right now trying desperately to get out of some phone call that you never should have made.
And I would sprint into the middle of the grocery store, open up a can of SpaghettiOs, take them home, rub your mother's hairy back and get paper cuts because the hair is so coarse. Oh, the nervous laughter
again.
This tube just opened up. That was much better.
The old what?
The old bread that you used.
Now he's turned. Now he's doing a little bit of the divide and conquer now.
About Mike's restaurant.
Get out of here.
What was that?
I said, I'm just trying to get out.
You're trying to get out of the call now, right?
The easiest way to get out, you got two ways. You could either drive your car into oncoming traffic or hang up.
Now, the first way that he suggested is the more entertaining of the two.
We leave it up to you.
Hold on one second. I'm coming up right behind a truck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Oh, it would be tempting.
Punch that accelerator.
Would be tempting, wouldn't it?
Okay, I'm sorry to take
especially
your
if you're coming up behind a truck, as opposed to pulling into oncoming traffic where an innocent person would be hurt. I think really if he just rammed into the back of a truck, the trucker's not going to be hurt at all.
No. And then as whatever it is flying through your head, your last thought would be, God, I shouldn't have said they were fat. I'd be like, oh, I shouldn't have said they were fat. Oh, my God.
Software sales.
Right.
So, Jesus.
So you're pretty happy.
Get me a gun and put it in my mouth.
Boy, boy, oh boy, Mike and I, as you can tell, Mike and I wish we could switch spots with you right now. God, let's change lives. You've got it so much better than we do. You shop on the outer part of the grocery store, not the inside part.
Right, where all the fresh produce, fresh meats.
Yeah, my God, if I was in your line of work, I'd walk into the middle and, like, open up a can of Pringles and then eat frosting with a spoon. And the fake kind, you know, the kind with all the chemicals in it.
And, dude, I know that we're all kidding here and everything's funny, but really, hey, ass, what's your problem with Steak-ums?
Yeah, man, what is the
seriously,
problem?
Seriously, dude. Seriously.
Last time I checked, I believe those are all beef.
Yeah, chopped.
They are. They're delicious.
Hey, see, you knew about Steak-ums.
Of course you know they are. They're delicious, just like your mom is.
Oh, no, let's not go too far.
No, that's right.
That might be the first thing you said that's a mistake.
Your mom tasted like bitter beer. I forgot, we got those bitter beer faces.
Yeah,
and remember,
nasty.
This guy says he's wary of everything he consumes, unlike his mom.
Yeah. And really, frankly, you know, we all know that that taste is similar to an old onion.
The oldest.
Friend, listen, get over it.
right, I'll send you a box of Fuentes.
Here's the thing. We're fat. We can lose weight. You're stupid. There's no amount of sit-ups you can do that's going to help that.
I tire of your nervous laugh.
Okay, guys.
Asshat.
Okay, guys.
I'll,
All right.
I'll, yeah.
All
tough
right,
guy.
Guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sitting in 95.
All right, guys. Yeah,
you
guys.
Incredible hump.
Yeah, guys. Yeah. Steak. Hey, guys. It's processed food, guys.
I work around the outside of the grocery store.
Please.
Okay. Ass. Bye-bye.
What was it? Ass?
A-S.
A-S?
He called us ass. A-S. That he just proved himself.
I'm gonna miss him.
Everybody knows there's two asses on ass. Please, God, we're fat and we know that.
That was kind of fun, and you know, Steakums. That's the whole reason for the call.
He didn't know.
Jesus Christ, how dare you impugn the great name of Steakums?
I'm gonna eat the whole box tonight.
The hot button. The hot button.
And I don't remember. Are you happy or unhappy? You're having Steakums tonight.
I don't care.
Okay. No, he's delighted.
No,
don't let him fool you. He's a tough guy. I don't care on the air.
Right.
But really, on the way home tonight, Carrie, you're the greatest wife in the world for making me Steakums.
Not even a top five.
Really?
I'd take Hamburger Helper over.
I would. He would, too. I believe that. Rob has never seen the outside of the grocery store. He has never been on that perimeter.
No, I actually come in through the middle.
I dig it a hole from China.
Yeah.
He rises up.
Hello!
You know what? Hold on. He's like an Israeli in Kiss. You know
the comes out of the stage.
How the drum kit came out of the bottom of the stage. I am Robbie.
Look at this. They put a special entrance, and I ended up right in the middle of the potato chip aisle. Fantastic. And over here, I've got all my chewy granola bars. Processed food.
Jesus Christ.
That was fun.
Okay, we got a break. We'll come back. Oh, at this Valentine's website thing. Hey, Yanni, you run those names?
We did.
Okay, beautiful. We hear them. We come right back.
This is the Don and...
Shut up.
The Don and Mike Show. The mayors of Boner City.
Howdy.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Shut up.
Did we even talk about American Idol today?
No, we didn't.
Love the carnage last night.
Very quick.
Love the fact they went from 170 on Tuesday to the top 24 last night. And it's all in the editing, of course.
Sure.
But it's great at the very end. Where you've got the cocky guy, the guy who's so cocksure of himself, the guy who kind of looks like Mario Lopez.
Yeah, the guy that was kind of comforting the other fella as they were going up in the elevator, like he was so sure that he was going to win.
There was one guy who looks like he eats a lot of Steakums,
mm-hmm.
and one guy who looks like he was on Saved by the Bell.
Right.
And the guy from Saved by the Bell was saying, hey, dude, you know, whichever guy wins, it's God's way.
And then the bad karma of bad karma, elevator got to the top floor. He said, you go first, man.
And then after they picked the fat guy for the last spot instead of the skinny guy, skinny pretty boy went to the elevator, he just kept saying, this is effed. This is effed. Dude, this is effed. And he gave the finger to the camera.
Wow. As much of a bad sport as anybody all season.
What a great end.
And he was a bad sport in that kind of non-redeeming way. You know, even if he'd gone off a little bit more, it would have been better. But no, he didn't do that.
And also nice with the giraffe girl, who could not believe that she was not picked.
Yeah.
Buzzer's a girl about 6'7".
Right.
And she can't sing worth a lick.
Oh.
But she got legs that will not stop.
Right.
And they call her out and they say, you didn't make it. And she says, well, I know I can't sing, but look at me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one girl. There was one girl that they 86, who was the really weepy one, the really crying girl, who I thought had an absolutely incredible voice, and it stuck in my mind that she's going to be asked to come back. Don't they do that every year? They bring somebody back. Don't they bring someone? And I think it's going to be her. Do you know the one I'm talking about? She was really crying, like super freaked out, nervous, but she had an incredible singing voice.
When they showed her afterwards, I asked Carrie, does she have a black eye? And she said, no, that's mascara.
Yeah, she was really upset, but I also thought she was really talented.
And you need to mention the fat guy by name because he's got such a great name.
Was it? It's like Hambone or something, isn't it?
Sundance Head.
Sundance Head. Wow. There are two fat guys. There's the one with the
Jack Osborne guy.
Yeah, there's the Jack Osborne guy, and And then there's the one with the little rectangular beard.
Sundance Head.
That's Sundance Head. And he was the guy that went up in the elevator at the very end. The other fat guy, who I said I didn't like, and I changed my mind last night.
Funny.
He is funny. And, you know, and when he walks out, I said, I bet you're wondering why I've called you all here. That, to me, I love that composure. That was
also
great.
I watched the show and analyzed it too much. I was driving Janet nuts. I said, because I'm talking about Simon Cowell, like, I know who he is, right? And, like, Simon. He's a real person.
They made him kind of sweet, Wes.
And I said, you know what Simon Cowell is doing? If someone gets selected and they have the balls to come over and look the judges in the eye and shake hands with them and say, thank you, he says to all of those people, very well done. And Janet said, no, he didn't. And then that's the magic of TiVo. We went back through. Three of the contestants out of the 24 that made it went to each judge individually, shook their hand, and said, thank you very much. And to each of them, Simon Cowell sat down and said, very well done. And I think it's about showmanship.
Uh-huh. And did you know the other thing that he said to one of the nice ones when he was being super nice, Simon? I'm very pleased for you.
Yeah.
Because I actually did the TiVo thing trying to see what he was saying. Because he kind of mumbles a little bit. He said, very pleased for you.
Yeah.
I forgot which one that was, but don't you think they were making him Mr. Nice Guy last night? He was just smiling all over the place.
And why did they let that one, the girl that was there with the other best friend and the 16-year-old that had like the catchy name like Brandy or something like that?
The blonde girl that's the country star, the next Kelly Pickler?
They had these three chicks, and of the three, there was one who looked like a Fran Drescher in training, and she even kind of sounded like that.
She's from Point Pleasant, New Jersey.
She made it through. I was amazed.
There were a few in there where I was shocked. I also think, unlike other seasons, you didn't really get a chance, nor have you, to see everybody. I mean, they're
still playing at cagey.
Yeah, they're going to be in this group of 24. A lot of people who you really haven't gotten a good look at yet.
I was shocked they broke up the Indian brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how queer was he?
Oh, he's out of. Hey, listen, prettier than the girl.
Be a man. You made it through. What do you say, crying for your sister who didn't make it through? You know why the sister didn't make it through? The sister was naked on MySpace.
Oh, that's right.
Really? That is true. Well, you've had a brother, Don. You haven't had a sister. And there's a closeness there that.
With you and your sister? Yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, right.
Your sister that you're so bitter about?
Imagine, my sister, if I had lost, my sister would be up there like popping champagne. Your brother's downstairs and he's going to open a vein. Oh, I'll let him.
Both of you on American Idol.
Hello, Don. My
sister
show.
Loves me. I know that.
Hello.
Hey, I can't tell you who the third president is, but remember, each judge gets a wild card pick and gets to pick one person to come back from the rejected group, so there'll be three.
You are correct, sir.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Buzz, don't you feel like you're missing something now?
Sometimes I do, but then I watch the show and realize I don't.
Okay. Well, before we get to this website, a very quick note here. From a friend, I can't say the friend's name on the air. I'll tell Mike off the air.
Okay.
Buzzfill for a moment.
All right. Don and Mike, we're about to do some Valentine rhymes pretty soon. John has input some names in the computer, and we'll soon hear what they are.
We will in a moment, but first this. An email received to the show from a friend of ours in Hollywood about Scientology.
Oh.
Some facts about Scientology from somebody we know who actually works in Hollywood, and that's as far as we will go.
Fair enough.
Okay? Let me see. Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony and their friendship with Tom Cruise is no accident.
Mm.
You have Jennifer Lopez, Mark Anthony, Leah Remini, John Travolta, Jenna Elfman, and part of the deal, now let me read this email that he sent absolutely as he wrote it. In keeping with Scientology's Hollywood deal, in which members hire each other, Leah Remini's husband has had parts in John Travolta's Swordfish and Jenna Elfman's Dharma and Greg, as well as several episodes of King of Queens. This accounts for Leah Remini's sudden promotion into the Tom Cruise inner circle. The now constant mention of the Cruises, the Reminis, and the Lopez-Anthonys. Here now from our friend in Hollywood who sent us a very detailed email about Scientology. Not only does he go on to write that Jennifer Lopez cannot have babies, or she's not been able to thus far, and they're trying to come up with some Scientology Scientological. Thank you. Wait for her to have an immaculate conception.
Okay. Wow.
The latest celebrities to help were David and Victoria Beckham, who spent last weekend spent last weekend with their hands on Jennifer Lopez's stomach.
Oh my!
Is that so? That's why Bend It Like Beckham moved to L.A.
Well, now,
there you go.
I heard that the Beckhams were going to be recruited. That there was an attempt to recruit them.
They're in,
but that they were resisting. So I guess maybe they're in.
No, they're in. And we got from the guy in California. We got a lot of stuff that flat out says that there is a Hollywood deal with all these Scientology people where one guy gets a job for another guy.
And so you might want to look for posh Spice showing up in maybe American film and television.
Hmm. And also, just get that, try to get that picture out of your head. Jennifer Lopez just laying down, and David Beckham and posh Spice putting their hands on her belly going, grow, baby. Grow, and somewhere
kind of turns me up.
Somewhere, Leah's in the background going, "Who wants to be on King of Queens?" It's a weird Scientology thing.
Do you think we're
we'll
going
get back to it?
You think we'll see Leah in other feature films? I would love to know now. What was the one feature film that was that? Was it Old School?
Old School.
That Leah was in?
That was not a Scientology thing, I don't think.
But who knows? I mean, who knows who's connected and who's in that? I mean, you know, the big names weren't in it, but do you think, could Will Ferrell be?
Didn't Leah just recently get into the Scientology thing, or was she into that when we were friends with her?
She's been in it since we've known her. Because that was one of the reasons she went away. Maybe we should get into it.
I remember one of the fights was we had a photographic proof that they had photoshopped a Scientology get together to make the crowd look much larger.
Yep.
And we asked her about it.
She didn't like it.
And she was fussy.
Yeah. All right. Well, remind me tomorrow. We've got a very detailed email from our Hollywood friend about what goes on in Scientology. Plus, tomorrow, you know what, Rob? Here you go. Hey, buddy.
Yes, all
this stuff, like the clown phobia.
Yeah.
And the thing about pornography,
right?
And the thing about the movies,
oh, yeah.
And the thing about Sarah Jessica Parker's hands,
yes.
We'll just keep all that till tomorrow.
We'll put it in the Tupperware.
Okay. Put that in the
Tupperware. Mañana.
And we'll just go with this right now.
Okay.
The Valentine's websites are Instasong.com,
okay.
BookByYou.com, and another one we found called MidnightFantasyBritneySpears.com.
Okay. Yeah.
These websites are all very similar. You put in names of friends of yours, and you either get spoken word stories that put their names in, or love songs.
And we've already done this? We've already prepared?
Yes, we did.
All right.
For instance, we went to Instasong.com, and we put the names in, Don and Mike.
Okay.
And this is what we came up with.
I'd always turn forever. There beats another, a matter of time, until someday you find each other. But Mike, each night when I look to the sky, I wondered out of all the millions, where the real one passed me by.
That's right, Mike.
I like that it's a real song.
Come on, where's the part about more names?
Is this a hook coming up?
I think so.
And today's our 20th Valentine's Day.
But does she sing it for me?
I don't think you're. You might get the one about Buzz.
The one about Buzz?
The Buzz one, I think, was the best one, wasn't it?
All right, hold on a second.
So they're all different songs. Okay.
Same website, though.
Sometimes I look in your dark brown eyes. Donnie, I think of all
Donnie.
The time. You are my soulmate, and it's true. Both part of it.
think the whole point of this website was if you were too cheap to send someone a Valentine,
right?
You could email them this thing.
Oh, I want those. Those are cool.
Personalized song.
I want to play with those at home.
$5.
All right.
Well, it's $5 if it's not free.
What was that one?
What was that?
Happy Canadian Thanksgiving Day.
So you're just pumping in information?
You missed a line, is that a Buzz saying he smokes pot because of you.
All right, then. Hold on. That's InstaSong. Where's the Britney
How
Spears?
How do they do that?
Oh, here it is. All right, the Britney Spears website, midnightfantasybritneyspears.com.
You can do the same thing there? You pop your names in?
In number three. Here we go. Yes. Story. It's a story from Britney Spears.
John, what's up? This is Britney Spears. I'm over here with your friend with benefits. Robert, we were just celebrating the release of my new fragrance called Midnight Fantasy when he handed me his phone and asked me to share a fantasy about the hottest girl in the world, you. You see, one evening after the sun had set, there was an exotic enchantress who lived in a magical and mysterious place called Alabama.
She's been up a little bit? She's been up late at night?
Sounds like it.
Michael, what's up?
Oh, was that Michael, what's up?
Yeah, they didn't do Mike. You had to do
Michael, what's up?
Nothing.
This is Britney Spears.
Hi, Pig.
I'm over here with your homeboy, Dawn. We were just celebrating the release of my new fragrance called Midnight Fantasy.
Okay, there's the joke
right
there.
That's the whole point of it.
That's the joke. Okay, that's
my whole fragrance.
Michael, what's up?
Hi.
This is Britney Spears.
Hi, baby.
I'm over here with your homeboy, Dawn.
Hi, whore. Let's see. Here's, again, on InstaSong, they've just put in Dave and Amanda.
Ah, good.
Super Dave and his girlfriend, not a lesbian,
I'd
Amanda.
For every heart that beats another.
Same song.
A matter of time.
Different word.
Until someday.
Okay. Amanda.
And Amanda, each night when I look to the
okay, all right, let's do the next one. Dum, dum, dum.
I'd always heard for every heart there beats another, a matter of time.
Is this the one that says Mike?
Yeah. Next line.
It'll come right here then.
But Mike.
Thank you. Thank you, Super Dave.
Same song again.
Sometimes I look in your dark brown eyes. Donnie. Think of all the time.
My God, to you.
I've wished you were George Clooney. You are my soulmate.
So what it requires is her to sing on a particular key.
Right.
Every name known to mankind.
The words that you put in, it's like a Mad Lib, right?
And there are hundreds and hundreds of possibilities.
Okay.
Michael, what's up? Hi. This is Britney Spears.
Hi, Pig.
I'm over here with your homeboy, Dawn.
Hey, whore. Do us both right now.
We were just celebrating the release of my new fragrance called Midnight Fantasy.
Yeah, smell it.
Oh, that's good.
When he handed me his phone and asked me to share a fantasy.
You want to get deep into this fantasy a little bit? I mean, did we...
There's more things to hear.
Does it get nasty at all?
Okay. Michael, what's up?
This
is Britney Spears. I'm over here with your homeboy.
John, does it get any better?
No, I think we've got it all.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
What's the first?
I didn't.
You did.
You did.
You did.
Damn it.
But don't we get to hear about Mike's hobbies in that fantasy?
Oh, something about the guitar.
And the piercings?
Dawn, we were just celebrating the release of my new fragrance called Midnight Fantasy.
Yes, Brittany.
When he handed me his phone and asked me to share a fantasy about the coolest guy in the world. You. You see, one evening after the sun had set, there was a wicked warrior who lived in a magical and mysterious place called Connecticut. His life was filled with one adventure after another. You know, playing an instrument, going to the gym. And, of course, flexing in front of the mirror.
Yes.
Then one day, something incredibly magical happened.
What's that, Bridget?
He spotted a mystical muse, Dawn, who seduced him with her magical powers. He was spellbound by her scent, Midnight Fantasy.
Oh, Midnight
Fantasy. So they decided to meet at midnight at a secret location.
Yes, we did.
He brought an acoustic guitar, and she waited behind a tree. When the clock struck 12,
that was she.
They began a bombastic love affair.
Bombastic?
It was you and I.
John.
Yes.
What's up? This is Britney Spears.
Hey, Orr.
I'm over here with your friend with benefits, Robert. We were just celebrating the release of my...
Robert the Mailman.
No, they didn't have Rob.
Your friend with
Robert
benefits.
The Mailman. Oh, that's...
Rob Spiewak.
My friend Robert Spiewak.
And friend with benefits is Boston Legal.
And it's John, not Don, right?
Right.
She said
right.
John.
John.
So for John and Robin.
This is John
right.
and
when
Rob.
He handed me his phone and asked me to share a fantasy about the hottest girl in the world. You. You see, one evening after the sun had set, there was an exotic enchantress who lived in a magical and mysterious place. Called Alabama. Her life was filled with one adventure after another. You know, going to the spa, getting piercings, and of course, flexing in front of the mirror.
Oh, that one.
Then one day something incredibly magical happened.
Midnight fantasy.
She spotted a gentle giant, Robert, who she seduced with her magical powers. He was spellbound by her scent, midnight fantasy. So they decided to meet at midnight at a secret location. He brought a bottle of massage oil. And she waited
massage.
Behind the tree. When the
massage.
Clock struck 12, she was a girl, not yet a woman.
She was a girl, not yet a woman.
Not yet a woman.
The full cast and crew for Old School includes director Todd Phillips, who is a Scientologist.
Bingo!
All right.
Interesting. Wow.
All right, well, we've tied this in a neat bow today.
I sure liked our fantasy.
Those just suck.
Michael,
yes.
What's up?
Hi.
This is Britney Spears.
How are you?
I'm over here with your homeboy, Don.
There he is.
Hey, suck it.
Suck it.
Suck on that, losers.
All right, well, isn't it a good thing Valentine's Day is over?
Thank God.
We're done with that. It's not too late for you, though, Buzz. Maybe you'll score it tonight. You send one of those to Marsha.
I hope.
Can you imagine that? You fill that up on your email machine?
Dear Marsha, you fell asleep last night.
How
from...
you...
Buzz. Yeah, it was like a computer voice.
Buzz. Hi.
Hi.
Buzz. This is, what'd you say, this is Britney Spears?
Michael.
Yes?
What's up?
Hi.
This is Britney Spears.
Hello.
I'm over here with your homeboy.
Buzz.
Don.
Midnight Fan. And the whole thing's around her like stinky perfume. Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
John. What's up? This is Britney Spears. I'm over here with your friend with benefits, Robert.
Your friend with benefits.
So you have categories that you check, right? Like
yes.
One is homeboy, one is friend with benefits.
Drop down menus.
Oh,
but
okay.
The best thing is clicking around and seeing how Britney can't talk.
Yeah, massage.
Robert.
All right, those are instasong.com, bookedbyyou.com, midnightfantasybritneyspears.com. We'll have the links to those on our website, Don, and mikewebsite.com.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the time. We're already into the Buzz News Hour. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Irreplaceable, Don and Mike.
Michael, what's up? This is Britney Spears. I'm over here with your homeboy, Don.
Time for Buzz's News now. Our friend Frank is brought to us tonight by Cox Communications, his friend in the digital age. Cox services include local long-distance phone, high-speed internet, digital cable. Call 703-480-6222 to order. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Honey,
how do I love thee? Let me count the receipts. We've established that men spend twice as much money on Valentine's Day than women. We've established that one reason is pressure from the people who sell the candy, flowers, and diamonds, as well as pressure from the women themselves. But there's another reason men spend more. Guilt. Quoting a consumer psychologist and business professor.
That's right.
Guys got all their expensive electronics for Christmas. This, he says, is payback time for the high-def TV.
Is that the whipped cream that the stripper left behind yesterday?
Yes, it is.
Happened to end up in your office?
Yeah, I don't know how it got here.
That's interesting. Right. I was just looking over there, and I normally don't sit at this angle until the news, and I noticed you have whipped cream.
I wanted to take it home with me.
Very interesting. Very clever, Buzz.
Thank you. On average, guys spend just over $150 on Valentine's Day. Women spend, on average, $85. Together, we spend nearly $17 billion, making Valentine's Day tied for second with Mother's Day.
Kiss my fat ass!
The second spendingest holiday on the calendar, right behind Christmas and Hanukkah. 45-year-old men should be very suspicious. Yes?
Did I hear Hanukkah on the list?
Well, yeah, I combined it with Christmas because we all spend a lot of money that time of year.
Let's separate those two, please, Buzz.
I'd appreciate that. I would.
And, thank you. After all, consider where we're broadcasting from now.
No, I know, but they occur at the same time of year, and both to some degree involve spending.
You
well, I go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
I was Mike. What can I say?
Yes,
we're in Rockville, Maryland,
right? And I would like to point out that all of the holidays that Buzz has mentioned,
mm-hmm.
You can receive a wonderful gift consistent with quality.
True. And I want to give a big shout out to everyone at Bagel City.
Right. Amen.
Right down the street. Happy early Hanukkah.
Thank you. A 45-year-old man should be very suspicious of the attention they get from a 23-year-old named Tiffany.
Hanukkah is not so much giving as it is saving. I'm sorry. I have these thoughts. You mentioned the holidays.
See? Mm-hmm. Random. Complete. Thoughts. So 45-year-old men should watch out for 20.
Is there a scam afoot?
There was for this guy.
Okay.
And I want to tell you his story.
Okay.
do
you?
Boy, do I ever. A 23-year-old named Tiffany in this guy's case, and she actually moved into his backyard storage shed. That should have been a warning to him, but it was Valentine's Day yesterday, and the 45-year-old in this story was no doubt excited about the kinky sex that Tiffany had promised him. Together they shared drinks and drugs. It wasn't until he let her tie him up that he realized she'd be stabbing him with a knife repeatedly in the chest and leg and then drinking his blood.
Yee!
The man, who's not been identified so as to preserve what little dignity he has left, broke free of his bondage and took off down the street.
Buzz?
Yes.
Is this her?
That's the woman, as a matter of fact.
Let's
yes.
put that on our website.
There you go.
DonnaMikeWebsite.com.
Soon to be illustrated with her stringy hair on the Donna Mike website.
Celebrity she most resembles, for those of you not near your computer, Matt LeBlanc. Take a look. She's not the most feminine-looking gal.
No, and she's got the wild hair, mugshot type hair. A little Sarah Gilbert from Roseanne, too, I thought, a little
That's
bit.
Almost like a George Costanza thing going bad again.
Yeah.
You remember the episode where George thought he was going to get along with this chick in a hotel room, and she tied him up with his necktie right. to the bed, and then she went through his suit,
right.
and she ended up taking his suit that he spent like $300 on?
She was a psycho.
She was mad because there wasn't much money in his wallet.
Right.
So this guy broke out of his bondage.
But she didn't drink George Costanza's blood.
No, that's creepy.
That's on the DVD.
Well, this guy was creeped out, so he broke free, took off down the street. According to police in Tempe, Arizona, that's when Tiffany took off after him with a pickaxe from the shed.
Oh, no.
Jesus.
One of the guy's friends spotted this and called police. The guy is in the hospital. Tiffany, still looking rather goth in the mugshot you'll soon see, is facing charges of aggravated assault. She says it was all consensual. Well, okay, maybe not all of it.
Did this all go down on Valentine's Day yesterday,
yes,
Buzz?
Yes, it did.
Extra creepy. Look,
you know, I know she's creepy in the mugshot and her hair is all messed up, but, I mean, outside of that, would you peg her for some kind of psycho?
See, here's the thing. I'm biased because I've heard Buzz's story,
right?
And I've seen her picture.
She's in the shed. She's been living in your shed, in your backyard.
It's impossible now for me not to get those. Look at those scary eyes she has.
She does have the scary eyes, and she's got that thing that so many of the serial killers have, where one eye's kind of going in another direction. But look at her and imagine her offering you kinky sex.
And you know, you can't, but what you can't tell from that picture is she might be fat.
I don't think she's fat.
I don't think so.
I don't either.
Not if she's living
Hold
in a shed.
Hold it up again. Let me see.
Skinny to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
Got a pretty thick neck.
Maybe too skinny.
She does have a thick neck. She's got a mannish neck, like Don pointed out, Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, but she is really creepy looking.
Very creepy. Yeah.
And then the question would be, if we had seen the picture before the story,
right.
say, does this woman look creepy?
You put a little makeup on her, she might not be bad looking.
Yeah, she's completely without makeup in that picture.
Put on a ponytail, something.
I really think if you put makeup on her, she wouldn't be that ugly.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I'm sure of it. And she's had a rough day and a night there.
That's your theory with a lot of women, Mike. Not enough makeup, my friend.
A new study says men who have had vasectomies.
That's
just
our way of saying hi to everybody at 10800 Main Street.
Amen.
We don't get to see those good people enough anymore.
No. Or as we like to refer to them, our painted ladies. Here's a story for all the guys.
That's you, white trash.
Thank you, Gordon. All the guys who called this show proudly announcing they've had a vasectomy. A new study says men who've had that procedure may be more prone to dementia.
It's
that's right.
Good.
It's an otherwise rare form.
It's
kind of a rare form of dementia. This one robbing its victims of language skills. Researchers.
Researchers
at Northwestern University say they found a link between primary progressive aphasia and the surgery that makes men sterile. In their study, 40% of the men with PPA, like that guy, had vasectomies. Like Alzheimer's, this dementia appears mostly between the ages of 55 and 80. And like Alzheimer's, there is no cure.
Oh, good.
You know, I've always had trouble hearing you.
Well, the good news is he's almost done with it.
Valentine's Day was also...
We'd like to ask you some questions.
Duke.
That's not strictly true.
Can't hear a word you say.
Yesterday was also the day a new trial program was supposed to begin in Britain, allowing men to get Viagra without a prescription.
Yeah.
If the test worked, Viagra would become available that way in all the pharmacies in England, if only it hadn't been a hoax. Nobody bothered to check when a large pharmacy chain in England announced it would be part of a new government pilot project allowing Viagra to be sold over the counter. The drugstore company was fibbing for Valentine's Day. It says the company now says the press simply misunderstood. It was an elaborate hoax, though, complete with age limits. Men were told they'd have to bring along their medical histories and submit for tests to cholesterol, glucose.
You mean the real pressure. Company did this?
Yes, the actual company did this.
How delightfully stupid.
And today, a lot of red faces in England, not just from the Viagra.
How many guys, though, are that hot to get Viagra that you would go down to the whatever your CVS is?
Guys lined up at the chemist, as they say in England, lined up yesterday at these stores. Boots is the name of the chain in England. And they lined up at Boots yesterday across the country.
I'll see you at Puss.
Hello, welcome to Boots. Line up over there if you want your Viagra. We've got a small questionnaire you got to fill out, and then you get your little blue pill and go over and have a shagathon.
And before we leave the subject of love and sex, Christina Aguilera has written and recorded a pornographic song.
Hello.
But you'll never get to hear it.
Oh.
Unless it gets out. Or in radio speak, the song is called F-U-S-U. Quoting Christina, I play it when I have friends over and when we've had one too many and start rolling around on the floor with each other.
Oh.
She says she can't play
she's
it.
She's so naughty.
Yes. But she says she cannot play this song or even her hit Sexy Time when she's with her husband. She says that makes her too self-conscious. She says for that, she listens to Tom York of Radiohead.
And she married the guy from Bush, right?
And I'm not sure he's a record company executive. That's all I remember.
Who's married to the guy from Bush?
Didn't recognize his name.
The girl from No Doubt?
Hold on, yeah. John?
It's Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani is married to the guy.
Who are we just talking about?
Christina Aguilera is married to the guy. He is a record company executive.
Right, and the other one is married to the guy that was in the group Bush.
He was in the group Bush. Yeah. She's married to another musician.
They both got great bushes.
You're cheating NASCAR. The latest on that story when we return.
Okay, thank you, Buzz.
I'm just enjoying that fantasy right now. Just thinking about Bush.
Let me look. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
Where's the new one?
The only thing I can tell you is that when I speak, I'm very conscious about the audiences that are listening to my words.
This is how he starts that.
Yeah, the whole thing, everything.
Hear it again.
The only thing I can tell you is that when I...
That's like you or I speaking. You're stupid disc jockeys. He's the president of the goddamn United States.
The only thing I can tell...
like Dennis Murphy.
Right.
No.
The only thing I can tell you is that...
What's with all the next
you know
stepping?
Something?
What?
What's with all the next step?
The only thing I can tell you is... Hey, you know something? The only thing I can tell you is that when I speak, I'm very conscious about the audiences that are listening to my words.
Oh, my God.
The audiences.
You know, I just hope he doesn't have a bad fall because they might find the president lying unconscious. Oh, I love this stream of consciousness radio.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Irreplaceable. Don and Mike.
Let's get back more of Francis' news. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Well, of course, scandal has rocked the NASCAR world going into this year's Daytona 500.
Get her done.
Five NASCAR teams have now been caught cheating. The latest...
Oh.
the latest out of two-time Daytona winner Michael Waltrip. And just as dramatically, that scandal has tarnished the debut of Toyota in this year's 500.
I'm very sorry.
Well, he is very sorry.
I am indeed.
Waltrip's crew chief and team director have been suspended and fined just days before the Super Bowl of racing.
I take all of the responsibility, but none of the blame.
Yeah, it's like that, too. You're doing very well.
Thank you.
All of this because of an illegal substance, not drugs, appears to be something akin to jet fuel in the system. Waltrip's been docked 100 points and his crew chief fined $100,000.
That sounds funny, doesn't it? Jet fuel inside the car.
Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is, from everything that I've heard, I guess the rules of NASCAR are, even though you're not that you're allowed to cheat,
right?
No. But certain cheating is allowed. You are not allowed, though, to cheat when it comes to your engine,
right?
When it comes to your tires,
right?
Or when it comes to your fuel.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Everything else,
right?
It's A-okay. I mean, if you want to push a guy, and if you want to make him go over the wall, if you want to get out of the car, if you want to throw your helmet at him,
right?
Whatever.
And right. Didn't the other guys get busted for like drilling holes in the car to make it more aerodynamic?
Yeah.
And I just said aerodynamic.
And isn't that like what a restrictor plate is supposed to do to make everybody have the same resistance to the wind?
That's what they don't want you messing around the standard stuff with the car. I just thought, and when I heard the first time I heard that it was jet fuel in there, that just made me. And Michael Waltrip, there's the Daytona for, my God, he's got a 15-lap lead.
And isn't that like Beverly Hillbilly's car?
Yeah.
Hey, Granny! Granny! I got some jet fuel for the number 15 car.
I can't lose, Granny. Put some jet fuel in it.
Yeah, I see fit.
I'll have the fastest car around, Granny.
Well, why, man, Michael?
Jet fuel. I put jet fuel in the engine.
Since Waltrip's original car has been impounded and disassembled for the investigation, Waltrip scrambled to find another car for Sunday, and in fact, he qualified eighth today in that backup car.
It's a 1987 Toyota Camry.
Modified, of course. And speaking of Toyota, its CEO says he's worried about a backlash against his company here in the U.S., but not because of the race. This year, Toyota is moving past General Motors as the world's biggest car maker. One reason, of course, is the popularity of the gas miser hybrid known as the Prius. But the Prius is not so popular with the Rob or with pedestrians, especially the blind. In parking lots and at intersections, the Prius makes no noise.
Can I give me a C?
You don't hear it coming at low speed.
Can I give me a C? That's Stevie Wonder asking if there is a woman of...
Can I give me a C?
He's looking for a bad lady in the crowd. He's blind.
I can't see the Prius.
At low speeds, it makes no sound at all. The National Federation of the Blind is asking the auto industry to make its hybrids make noise that's loud enough to be heard over all the other noises out there.
So the Prius doesn't make any noise?
At some point, I've actually frightened pedestrians in parking lots with it.
The Prius doesn't, but GM's entry into it does. The penis. There it is. That's the penis from GM and the new test driver.
You can hear it coming. There was definitely a noise when an SUV crashed through the sidewall of a movie theater in Torrington, Connecticut, Monday night. There were about 45 minutes into the 7 p.m. showing of Dreamgirls at the Multiplex when the front end of an SUV burst through the wall. Fortunately, only about a half dozen people in the theater at the time, none of them sitting along the side. So no one got hurt, but 46-year-old Deletta Squires now faces a DUI. Hey, you got salmonella in my peanut butter.
Hey, you got peanut butter in my salmonella.
But these two great tastes don't taste great together. That's why some Peter Pan and a store brand it makes called Great Value are being recalled.
Great Value.
Since late last summer, peanut butter with a 2111 product code on the lid has sickened nearly 300 people and put one out of five of them in the hospital.
Kids, this is why I say, even if you're on food stamps, always go with the name brand.
Mm-hmm.
Jif. Choosy mothers choose Jeff.
Peter Pan is a name brand, right?
Now, you guys call me cheap. How about this? True story today. Mm-hmm. Carrie comes home, checks our cabinet. She's making lunch for Robert. He asks for peanut butter and jelly. We have two jars of Peter Pan peanut butter, both of them with 2111 on them. And she pauses and turns to me and says, I'm sure they're fine.
Wow. I mean, true?
Yes. I said, you will not.
You had the tainted peanut butter?
You will not serve that. She says, we've had it. We're fine. I said, you will not serve it.
Incredible.
Mother of the year.
Because if she did serve it, you know what your kids would have said.
What?
I'm going to throw up.
You really, you had in your pantry the bad peanut butter buzzer.
Two jars. With this number on the lid, the 2111.
Well, listen, that's why you got to go to the top of the peanut.
Peter Pan is the top.
I thought it was.
I disagree. Choosy mothers choose Jeff.
No,
Skippy.
Clearly.
No, you're all wrong.
Skippy.
The pan.
Jeff.
Go pan.
Finally, we've had a Batman sighting, several in fact, in Scottsdale, Arizona. Police got calls from three different schools where students and teachers reported seeing Batman. They estimate Batman to be about 6'3", well-costumed and fit and fast. At the Desert Ario Middle School, they saw him run across the campus, jump a fence, and vanish into the desert. Scottsdale schools were immediately put on lockdown.
Of course, Bruce.
Quoting a police sergeant, we didn't want to take any chances. I'm Buzz Burbank.
Hold on.
Holy heart failure.
There you go. Hold on. I've only got a million of them.
Holy hole in a donut.
Let me just get one more here, Buzz.
All right.
And holy...
Holy mashed potatoes.
There we go.
Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No.
Holy nightmare.
I said we got to go. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode.
Holy Las Vegas.
All right. Until then, let's see.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Holy ball and chain.
That was funny for you.
Holy caffeine.
And I guess you're going to go home and have some David peanut butter.
No, look at the clock on the wall. 20 minutes to steak them.
Hey, steak them and peanut butter.
Holy fruit salad.
We'll see you tomorrow.
That'll help your ulcerative colitis.
New episode.
Holy heart failure.
This is the Don and Mike Show.